scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Seems like it's time to get things started. Choo-choo train going, baby. Yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Oh, great dogs. Oh, my God, I love dogs. God, I just want to kiss them. I just want to love them.
Pervert.
Ew. It's not like I have a crush on dogs.
Okay.
I will admit that the girl dog in a Goofy movie was very pretty.
She was a teenager. They were little kids. They were like in middle school in that movie.
I don't think so. No.
She was 14, maybe?
Well, that in dog years is old.
And also, my mom thinks I'm a baby, so I can't walk to school sometimes. And also, she thinks I need the perfect gear when I need to ride a bike.
You probably do. I think I agree with your mom.
I know how to ride a bike already, even without protective gear.
And now,
bring your popcorn. I'm thinking about maybe we just set up a popcorn machine in the back, because that's what this is becoming. It's becoming a show.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Monday, February 11th.
Yes, it is.
Who was that little kid? Do you know?
I don't remember what the story was on him, but
I love him so much.
He's a firecracker, man.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's something else. How's everybody?
Good.
Great.
How are you?
Tired.
Because the Grammys were on too late?
Late night. Mm-hmm. Late night for the Grammys. Late night for Daddy. I will say.
Oh, right.
I will say that.
Come on, man! How are you going to start the week like that?
It's Monday.
Come on. That's the first thing. Come on!
I will say
Stop
that.
It.
Just like when The Rock takes his shirt off, I always come in and I say, you know, I have that body, but I don't feel the need to, you know, parade it around for adoration in front of the world. You know, I have a little discretion. Sure. I always say to people like The Rock.
Sure.
And I'm going to say the same thing to Alicia Keys. Look. I can play 2 pianos at the same time. I can play 3 pianos at the same time. Don't feel the need to go out and show everybody up. Make everybody else feel bad.
Oh, what a delight she was.
I wanted to talk about Alicia for a little bit because I know we're going to be talking a lot about the Grammys and the performances and the presenters and the controversies and the snubs and all of that later on. But I was so fascinated by Alicia Keys last night. And tell me if you guys felt the same way, because technically she wasn't a great host.
She was not funny.
She wasn't. What I'm saying is,
her bits were awful.
Technically, she wasn't a great host in that she barely seemed to remember that she was on television. There were times where she was just walking across the stage like she wasn't sure where she was supposed to be. It was like she missed the rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
But none of it mattered because she was just so loose and so chill and having genuinely such a great time. And just seemed to be so enthusiastic about where she was and what the fellow performers around her were doing that it was like she was the greatest host of a party you could ever ask for. Am I wrong about that? You guys
not even a little bit.
100% the same way.
She was so lovely up there, and she was so positive. And everything that came out of her mouth when she would say, "It's my girl," I was like, "I want to be her girl. Like, I want to be friends with her." Everything about her was awesome.
There was a moment where I was nervous she was on ecstasy, though. Because she would just be like, "I love this." I was like, "Jesus Christ."
She had to touch everyone.
Someone hugged me.
But I think Ernest went a really long way for her. Like, and not the actor, not Jim Varney. But I do think her just being very true and real to herself went a very long way.
And I feel like that's how she is, like, in real life. Anytime you ever watch any of her videos that she posts on social media, I mean, that's how she is around her kids. That's how she is around her parents, around her friends. I mean, that just seems like her vibe is just...
She's a bundle of love.
Yeah, just going through life with super positivity. And it's so interesting because, you know, especially this year with the Oscar host controversy, you know, there's so much discussion about who can pull it off and how tough a job it is and how hard it is and you can't please everybody. And it seems like they just ignored all of that and went she carved her completely own path last night. That couldn't be compared to any. There's no comparison to what she did and what LL Cool J did. James Corden did. It was a completely different show and vibe.
Yeah. I mean, if you have skeptics, what I say to do is go out there, play 2 pianos, and completely nail some of the greatest songs ever written.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I could have watched that for 3 more hours. I was thinking, playing the piano.
Wait, that okay. should be yeah. that should be her tour. Is she should just go out and play 40 seconds of every song ever written.
Oh, I'd go.
We would love it.
That
right?
was the best Nordstrom's piano player I've ever seen.
And I don't remember the deal with her, Jensen. Maybe you do. I know that she was signed young and she was a little bit of a wonder kind, but was she some sort of child prodigy or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, she was a child prodigy who signed. First deal didn't necessarily go correct. And then the second one, which is the one we all know, and we saw her, was a huge, I mean, obviously, like a phenomenon.
Yeah, I think Columbia signed her and didn't know what to do with her, yeah. and then Clive Davis got a hold of her, and that was the right match.
The other thing, too, is like there was a lot of rumors over the last few years that she didn't still have it. Like, that was going around.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, that she didn't have the voice anymore and that it was sort of starting to get old voice-wise, and she proved that wrong.
Yeah. That was wrong, yeah. What do you think the numbers on her phone are like, Allie? Because you got the impression she yeah. knew everybody.
Everyone.
When Michelle Obama comes yeah. out just to hang out with you, you yeah. know you got friends and fans.
Yeah, I do know she personally texted most of the presenters to ask them to come do the show, yeah. Which is crazy.
That is crazy. But you can see why anyone would want to be friends with her because she's so positive. Yeah.
I want to be friends with her, and that's it. I think Adele's out. I think Adele is out.
That's a huge statement.
That's huge for me.
Man.
Yeah.
Jada Pinkett Smith really was
that
sort
was
of.
Odd.
She was the throw out of that yeah. opening group.
It's like, hey, look at her up there.
I think you tweeted she was the Ringo of that group.
She was. Aww. She really. I was like, well, a lot of people. I think even I was like, that can't be Jada Pinkett Smith, can it? I mean, Jada Pinkett Smith was in a rock band, and it played at the Grove.
Like, that's the extent of her connection to yeah. the music business. Yeah. Although she has three family members that are all in the music business.
Well, put them up there.
Put them up, right. That makes sense.
That means Yoko should have been up there.
At one point, and I know we're skipping around here, and we do have a lot of Grammy stuff to talk about later, but at one point, did I identify correctly in the crowd, guys, that Diana Ross was singing a Reach Out and Touch Somebody's Hand with Jaden Smith?
Yeah.
That was him in the hoodie.
Yes.
That was him.
And he did know at least the chorus, but then when it went into the next part, he was like, nope.
I think
that's all I got.
I think the woman behind him in sort of a loud dress, I think she was a seat filler.
No.
Yeah, because you could see the...
Oh, the white woman. Yeah. Yes, the fear
the
that
fear
crossed
on her face. She's like, don't hand me the mic.
Please don't hand me the mic.
I'm not famous. I'm a USC student. Please don't do this.
And I can't sing, I assume. Like, that was all wrapped up in her face.
Yeah. That was amazing.
And as she started to walk further down the aisle, I was like, oh, you're getting into, like, accountant territory. Yeah. Don't do this. Don't do this.
Yeah, stay up near the J-Lo crowd. Yeah. That's where you're going to be safest.
Yeah.
Kevin, did you watch the Grammys last night?
Yes.
Because you usually hate the Grammys and look for any opportunity to not have to watch it because you hate so much of the music on it.
I don't hate the Grammys. Sometimes I hate the Oscars because they're talking about movies that I'm not seeing. Mm-hmm. But
the Grammys, we've come in and talked about a lot of the
sometimes
you know, country
they've been
acts
horrible.
Get up and,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I felt they've been horrible. I didn't feel that.
I will say last year I felt it was horrible. And I said to myself, I am not watching this again. This is so bad.
How'd that go?
Last night was the best Grammys I've seen in years.
I didn't love all the performances, but I do give them credit for just really going for it.
Yeah.
They went for it. Yeah. It may have been a swing and a miss, but they went for it.
And
I like that.
Everyone seemed happy. I mean, I know they got about five no's, six no's, but everyone who did perform seemed happy to be there.
Right.
Seemed excited to perform and to give it their all. And I don't think they've had that the last few years.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it was the best Grammys I can remember
in
a long time. And I'll tell you what would have put it over the top is if Childish Gambino had been there to do This Is America.
That would have been really great.
He just didn't show up.
Well, a lot of protest. I mean, not out of protest per se, but I don't think him, Kendrick, there were a lot of rappers. Drake decided not to perform and then had a weird moment. And I think they just don't feel embraced by the Grammys.
Right.
And hopefully as the changes keep going through the next few years, they'll feel it. But yes, I think his absence was felt incredibly. Yeah.
Well, they went a long way toward bridging that gap with giving him song and record of the year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the kind of representation that they've been looking for at the Grammys for a long time.
Yeah, first rap record to win that, and then also Cardi B being the first female to win Best Rap Album. A lot of big firsts.
Yeah. There were some breakthroughs last night, for sure. Well, I know we'll talk a lot more about it, but I wanted to spend a couple of minutes on Alicia because we had her on Friday, and she, you know, we fell in love with her all over again just chatting with her. I mean,
I thought you were saying we're the reason she...
No.
Oh, okay, good, because I believe that.
I'm just saying she didn't... it felt like there was no pressure on her, too.
Mm-mm.
She was so casual.
I hope the Grammys have already asked her to come back next year.
I hope the Oscars forever. Asked her. Can she get it together in a few weeks?
I hope Farrell's ask her just to go and eat there and then give her a pig's trough. Like, that's what I'm saying. I hope everybody gives her awards, is what I'm saying. I mean, from the Oscars to Farrell's, like, everything in between.
Those are the two things I wanted to host.
Correct.
Farrell's and an Oscar.
It was a weird example.
It was a strange
example. It was a Mr. Bad example. And one more thing, I will say that it's good that she is so likable and so talented, because when you're dealt that face, I mean, you really have
poor
to just,
girl, right?
You've got to come up also, with some way for people to talk to you.
Who does the Grammys in minimal makeup? That is bonkers.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked great. I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying, like, imagine that kind
she
of confidence.
She could pull it off,
yeah. That kind of confidence.
Well, it's confidence, and she has a face that doesn't need makeup
much.
Yeah,
she's one of the most beautiful humans to grace the earth.
But you're right, Jensen. If you look at, like, Andra Day, who came out there in clown makeup, you know, I mean...
I will fight you.
But
she really was. She really
did,
though.
It was literally clown makeup.
It's her thing.
I know it's her thing.
Oh, man, do I love her.
She could be 30 or 65 with that makeup. I couldn't tell. I really looked at Danielle. I was like, I thought she was young.
Oh, I love her so much. Yeah.
And also, like, including Diana Ross, Dolly Parton, these are all, like, great ideas to reach back, but yet make it feel current, because everyone loves those people.
Right. And Chili Peppers.
That was a choice. That was odd.
Of
that
a
was
song?
Choice,
yeah.
It's a choice song.
What are you doing?
That was weird.
Also, the amount of time given to that side of the performance was really long.
Yeah.
That's where they should have had Greta Van Fleet, by the way, in my opinion.
I would have liked that.
I think that would have been a better choice. But, you know, we understand they like to appeal to a wide audience, and that was their classic rock band. That was their McCartney or whoever. You know what I mean? They're looking for those sorts of fans, too.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
And now I'm going to fill this silence with the words I'm saying right now.
You hooked up with your girlfriend or boyfriend's parent. We've done this.
We need all of that.
We need that. Yes, we need it all day. Yes.
Oh, why are we why?
There's a story that it's based on. We'll get into it. We've done this one time before, and the number of calls we got was astounding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Because you would think nobody, right? Maybe one or two people.
Yeah.
Are we bringing up some bad memories for you, Allie?
A little bit.
Okay.
No.
We have great news because it's Monday. A full recap of the Grammys. Alex Jones apparently is in a fight with Joe Rogan, which I love.
I don't know anything about this, so I'm very excited to go to our beef correspondent, Jensen Karp, to tell us all about it.
It's my Grammys.
Jensen is in a beef with Cheetos.
No, I'm going to beef with you guys. But Cheetos is going to be the medium. But yeah.
And Valentine's Day is a scam.
I'm sorry, what day?
Valentine's Day.
Again?
Valentine's Day.
He's doing the M.
What are you hearing?
I'm not hearing the M.
I said it times in a row.
And he's also sort of saying a B up top.
What?
Sort of a little bit of Valentine's.
Valentine's
Day.
Valentine's Day.
He's not saying
I couldn't
it.
Have said it more clearly.
Do it again.
Valentine's Day.
Okay, that one you got.
Yeah, I slowed it down for
that
you.
That one you got. Careful. Careful.
Sorry. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with what's happening.
It is 5:53.
That means it's Allie McKay time. What is happening?
Well, we're going to get more into the Grammys later, talking about some of the performances, the good, the bad, and the what, J-Lo, type of stuff. But for now, let's just talk about some of the winners. Album of the Year, Bean, how pleased were you? Musgraves, Golden Hour.
Look, this was a stacked category, and there are several that would have been good choices.
Yeah.
But I can't argue with Casey.
Yeah!
Great album.
Kids
Great
love her, too?
Album.
Kids love
the kids
her.
Kids adore her.
It was like watching Bean's Grammys. I was like, there's Brandi Carlile. Bean loves her. There's Casey Musgraves. Bean loves her.
There was
a lot Miley Cyrus. There she is. Bean loves her.
A lot of my girlfriends were on the show.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, dear. Record of the Year went to Childish Gambino, This Is America. Song of the Year, also, This Is America.
I'm sorry to always ask this, but what's the difference?
Record of the Year goes to artists, engineers, and mixers, and Producers. Song of the Year goes to writers.
I got you. All right.
Thank you for asking.
And by the way, let me just say, This Is America was a video viral sensation, which is why it performed so well on the charts. I don't know that it was a hit song. How much did you hear it on the radio when it was out, when it was new?
It was a quick burn, but when it was on a lot. But yeah, you're right. It was a very quick burn.
Best New Artist, Dua Lipa. To the rock categories. Do you guys see any of these awards given out?
No. I followed them throughout the day as they were announcing them.
Isn't it so weird that they just leave it completely out of the telecast, though?
Well, they only gave, what, 9 awards during the show? And then they gave 70-something off air.
Right, right. Well, rock category, rock album went to Greta Van Fleet for The Fires. Alternative music album, Beck for Colors.
Yeah.
All right. Rock performance, single or track, went to Chris Cornell with When Bad Does Good. In the rap category, rap album went to Cardi B, Invasion of Privacy. And, of course, that's history, becoming the first solo woman to win Best Rap Album. And then rap song, which goes to the songwriters, that was God's Plan. And that's when Drake got up there and then was cut off in the middle of his speech. Maybe not middle, towards the end.
That's arguable, by the way.
Really?
It is.
They played the music and went to commercial.
They didn't play the music.
Oh, it was just a cutoff to commercial?
It was just a cutoff.
So you don't think he was cut off?
I think that he paused a long time,
yes,
and they thought he was done, and then he started. But it's not a good look for people who want to say he was cut off because his controversial comments about the Grammys don't mean anything.
Yeah, he basically got up there and was like, listen, these don't mean anything. If you're watching this right now and people come to your shows and they come through snow and rain and they still come to your show, you're winning. You don't need this.
I didn't even think it was that harsh on the Grammys. But the Grammys for sure did not cut him off because of what he was saying. They thought he had a natural pause and went for it.
They thought he was done.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And by the way, to his point as well, I loved what Casey said when she won Album of the Year. She's like, just because I won this award doesn't mean my album is better than the other albums in this category.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's pretty dumb to rank art like that.
And
everybody's
she probably was like,
thing.
Listen, everyone's real mad I'm up here except for Bean. So let me get this out.
Did you guys see Black Twitter about how mad they were that Casey Muskrat won that award last night?
Muskrat.
Did you see how furious they were?
Oh, no.
Because so many people have never heard of her.
I really don't know much about her.
And they're like, hey, in a category where you have Cardi B and where you have Post Malone and where you have Drake, who is this Casey Muskrat? Like, how could she possibly win this with her dollar store wig? They were saying a lot of stuff about me last night.
Bean is one with Black Twitter. Very natural.
That's where I live, Jensen. Yeah. You know that about me.
Oh, I know it well.
Did you counter any of those arguments? Like, that's not her wig. It's just a back comb.
I wasn't going to get into that.
One of my favorite winners of the night is a real Bean, almost a boyfriend.
Right.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he won, too.
For
won
best
his fifth Grammy, yeah.
Packaging, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Really?
First box set, yeah.
Very happy about it.
Excellent package. I like it. R&B categories. The R&B album went to Her for Her, which we were all confused. Is her name Her? Is it H-E-R?
Wow.
Here's the thing. You got great hair. Did you see her hair?
I did.
It was the greatest thing at the Grammys to me. Speaking of hair.
Better than
Diana Ross's grandson.
Yeah.
He rocked it.
That was a powerful afro.
Did he also have a mustache?
No, he's like sick.
I don't know.
He was the best.
Like he had a mustache.
He didn't have a mustache. Did he?
No.
I'll bring up a pic.
I'll tell you who did have a mustache that looked ridiculous with it. Did you see Tony Bennett in the audience with his mustache?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
During Lady Gaga's speech, I was like, just stop cutting to Tony Bennett. I can't.
Anthony Kiedis saw Tony Bennett's mustache and was like, too pedophile.
And I just want to mention one other winner for Best Contemporary Blues Album, Fantastic Negrito.
Oh,
I
you
love
them.
Him.
Him, them, yeah.
It's one guy.
He's great.
He is wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's a great album. That's his second Grammy in a row.
Is that a mustache?
No.
I mean,
no.
I don't think so, but there's hair there for sure.
I think it's a shadow. It's the shadow.
What?
I don't know.
How old was he?
Nine.
He's a baby.
He's nine.
Really? At nine, can you have...
Yeah, absolutely. You could. I mean, yeah, you could be one of those werewolf face kids, too. I mean, you can do whatever... You know what I mean?
From Maury? Listening?
Yeah.
Go on.
The Maury kids with the werewolf face. Anyway, what I'm saying is you could definitely grow a mustache at nine. I'm Armenian, so I know all about it.
If you hit early puberty.
Yes, I mean, I couldn't have.
Yeah.
I still can't.
If I could have, I would have. Trust me, because I would love that, walking around with a mustache.
You have a wedding ring on, you're nine, driving to school.
Oh,
have
dear.
A mustache. I'm Diana Ross's grandson.
Really taking a weird turn. We'll talk later, I'm sure, about Cardi B winning and Ariana Grande's response to that on Twitter, which has now obviously been deleted. But we'll talk about that coming up. But she did say backstage, and she did wind up tweeting out, this is Cardi B, that she wanted to thank everyone. And you want to know something? I read an article that Mac Miller's family said that if he don't win, they want me to win. So I'm sharing this Grammy with you, mother effer. Rest in peace. And thank you, everybody.
Yeah! Agreed.
So there you go. Cardi B, Mac Miller, mother effer.
And they're from Canada.
No. No, he's nope.
from Pittsburgh.
Not even a little bit. Some birthdays for you. Brandy, Sheryl Crow, Damian Lewis, Kelly Rowland, D'Angelo, Mike Shinoda, Kelly Slater, Jennifer Aniston, and Taylor Lautner. It's a lot of birthdays.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what's happening.
Muse played Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Lucky enough to be there at the Palladium.
Yeah.
So fun, so good. I love that band so much.
And in such a little arena.
Yep. And they didn't play all of the hits. You know what I mean? Like, they played some of the stuff on the new album. They played songs that I hadn't heard them play before live.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. I tried to do Instagram Live, and I don't think it worked at all.
Okay.
The first time.
Cool. You were just shooting yourself.
I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. I was listening to the music, but that was the only song I was going to try to do that with, but who knows.
Happy Valentine.
Right? All right.
We don't have time.
Happy Valentine's, happy Valentine's, happy Valentine's, have a Valentine's Day.
Okay, thank you, Sam. We have to go.
I don't feel like he writes out. I don't feel like there's much effort put into the before he sings.
You think it's all like stream of consciousness?
Sure,
Can we put that up on the Kevin Bean website so that people who want to download it and send it to their significant other for Valentine's Day have it available?
It's a great idea.
I think that would be beautiful. I am so thrilled that DJ Omar Khan is in studio with us. Hey, Omar.
Hey, good morning.
Because we were talking, let's put his mic on. We were talking off here last week. Kevin's apparently surprised to see you and not as excited as I am that you're here. We were talking off the air last week about the scam that is Valentine's Day and how it's the worst thing in the world, the worst day, and it's a ripoff and all that. And I've been living on my own private Idaho on this topic for many, many years because most of the people on the show think that Valentine's Day, if you're in a relationship, it's completely appropriate and go ahead and do something for your significant
other. You have been alone in this belief.
Alone.
But we've had Omar working on the show for a long time. Mm-hmm. Why no backup before?
I don't know. I'm never in the meetings.
He doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I finally have some support now because Omar brought up out of the blue, wasn't me this time, that Valentine's Day was coming up and that it was a big ripoff.
Yeah, total big ripoff. I go out of my way not to celebrate Valentine's Day. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I'm a pretty good dude the entire year. Mm-hmm. I go out of my way.
Pretty good dude.
Hey, bastards. I treat my wifey with the, you know, like I love her to death, and that's a daily thing. So I don't need society to tell me on this specific day I have to go above and beyond what I already do.
Preach.
Thank you.
But if you love her, what difference does it make if you make a day more special?
Because you're only doing it because the man tells you to, Kevin. That's why.
But it's a celebration of the relationship that day. It doesn't have to be just like...
Jensen, I do that every day.
Anyone that says that is lying.
Yes, at my
Anybody
house.
That says that is lying.
Let's go to Cassie on line 5. I mean,
and also... if you go out, you're a chump if you go out on Valentine's Day because it's packed everywhere. Uh-huh. You can't get a reservation.
I do hate prefix menus. Menus, they don't allow you to just order anything off the menu.
The prices are jacked up.
It's like $150 per couple. Yeah.
That's bogus. That's bogus.
Flowers are 5 times as much.
Yep. So is
chocolates
candy.
Chocolates jacked up. Yep, absolutely.
And does your wife feel the same way?
She does.
Okay.
She does. She does.
I think that's key.
My answer to that question is, who cares?
Right.
Yeah.
Therein lies the problem.
No, she doesn't really, you know, we're super busy anyway. Mm-hmm. And when we were just dating and stuff, we would go and do the Valentine's thing, but we wouldn't do it on that day. Mm-hmm. We would kind of, you know, maybe make it a weekend thing or whatever. But slowly we started getting more busy. And also, I kind of always felt like it always was put on the dude more so than the lady, I felt like. So that kind of rubbed me the wrong wrong way, and she kind of understood that, you know. And I was just like, and then
thank you for bringing that up, Omar, because it's supposed to be a couple's holiday. Mm-hmm. But what it has turned into is, what is the man going to do for the woman?
Yeah.
And that's what it's turned into. Really, it's way out of whack.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. I mean, you guys.
I'm fine with it. And I'll tell you why. Because I can be difficult to live with.
No!
I'm not going to lie like Omar. I'm not going to lie like Bean and go, oh, yeah, every day is balanced. It's just not true.
It is true.
And it doesn't bother me at all.
Wife. You could ask my
it
wife.
It doesn't bother me 1%.
But
it just
Kevin,
doesn't.
If but you, Kevin has a lot to make up for, though.
I mean, that's true.
That's possible. But most people listening, tell me if I'm wrong about this. And I want to hear from you too, Jensen, and you, Allie, and you, Kevin, as well. If somebody shows up for the first time in 365 days with flowers and chocolate for their beloved tonight, or excuse me, on Thursday night, that person is going to think, oh, you only brought this stuff because it's Valentine's Day. It doesn't mean anything.
But that's not any of us. We're not saying that. What we're saying, I guess.
But I'm saying for most people, I think that literally it doesn't mean anything if you're only buying it because it's the date on the calendar. Well, this is the date where I have to buy flour and chocolate to take her out to dinner.
A bad relationship is a bad relationship. It doesn't matter if it's Valentine's Day or not. I agree. But as my first married Valentine's Day, I don't think it would be weird to just celebrate a relationship for one day. I don't think it's that strange. Just even though I have to show a little more motivation, I mean, it's fine. We can just.
That's my thing.
It's not a big deal.
Why does it make you so angry?
I'm not angry about it. I just don't do it.
You're just not into it.
I'm just not into it. And I do get a little, like I said, it kind of rubs me the wrong way that it's mostly put on the dude. For sure.
Yeah, I don't mind that either.
I mean, yeah. We're getting into,
you're right, and like, I don't mind that either.
Really?
1-800-5800-TOM.
I mean, nope. Real into that territory.
Allie, what are your thoughts? You've had Valentine's Day in and out of relationships over the years. What do you think when this February 14th rolls around?
Listen, I make it a point not to have a serious relationship between November and March. Those are just the months that if you want to bone, you bone, whatever. Nothing serious during those months. Because this comes up and people get so out of their minds about Valentine's Day. If you like it, celebrate it. If you don't, don't. But I'll tell you this, as a woman that's skeptical of some things, anytime a dude brings me flowers and it's not Valentine's Day, I get concerned. Like, what did you do? What is happening?
He's apologizing for something.
Absolutely.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
As you know, here at the Kevin and Bean Show, we tackle the biggest issues of life.
Yeah.
And well, we already killed Valentine's Day. We took care of that.
And on Friday, we started having an argument about Flaming Hot Cheetos.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
And I got to tell you, I was thinking about this. You know, Corolla is famous for being able to complain about anything.
Right.
I don't know how Jensen is able to find anything wrong with hot Cheetos because they are very nearly perfect.
I love. That's not the problem. I love hot Cheetos. I think they might be the best snack on the rack, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
My problem is, and this is very real, I don't want anyone to think that I'm doing this for the radio or anything like that. As someone who has OCD, one of my bigger issues is that I don't like food on my hands. Mm-hmm. So barbecue, stuff like that I love. I love barbecue. Might be my favorite food. But the issue...
You put on gloves?
I would love to put on gloves. That would be a dream for me. I don't enjoy food on my hands. I'm always wiping after every... Pretty much after every usage of it.
So if you eat one Flaming Hot Cheeto, you have to
100%
clean your hands.
And
I am very much like Jensen, as you guys know. We've talked about many times me using a knife and fork for pizza, for sandwiches, mm-hmm. for lots of things, because I don't like food on my hands either.
Yeah, chicken wings, stuff that I love that stuff. It's just that I can't find myself without 100 napkins next to me. And I've been that way since I was 9 years old. Like, that's just, I don't like food on my hands. Flaming Hot Cheetos is a GD nightmare. It is a disaster for hands, a disaster for fingers. Okay. It doesn't, and not only that, what your argument was the other day is that it goes away with washes.
Right.
That is not true.
This is the part that fascinates me, because it really
does.
No, it doesn't. It definitely does not. And
you're saying even after you wash your hands, you still have Flaming Hot Cheeto residue on your fingers.
There will be a red coloring that stays on your fingers. And if you have problematic cuticles or under your fingernails, if it can get to that spot, they will stay there for a small amount of time. Also, if you were to pick up anything white when you have that on, small amounts of it do show up on the white for a decent amount of time.
Oh, and you know how it is with Jensen. Everything has to be pure white or he hates it.
Dad, don't bring in them black towels.
So we didn't understand the whole idea that it wouldn't come off just by washing your hands. I don't even get that.
So,
he's eating some hot Cheetos now. I'm going to join him.
Don't ever tell me that I haven't done something for this show because this is me putting my hands on Cheetos right now. Is a disaster.
Well, you're rubbing your fingers on these hot Cheetos.
Only to rush the process.
Okay.
Because I can't have a lot in the segment. But say that I have a half a bag.
Okay.
I'm going to be touching them a decent amount. Mm-hmm. And also, I've put them in plates.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine putting your hand into the bag.
Oh, like an animal.
It then will come off on your hand.
What are you, a bear?
Actually, I am. But imagine putting your hand into the bag and then getting all of it on your way back. Now, number one, as you can see now,
yeah.
What other food do you know?
He's like a magician.
He's holding up his hands so we can see his fingers.
What other food do you know that leaves hands this? It looks like I've painted something for you.
All right, here's what I do.
Oh, I'd love to do that for you. I'd love to do that for you.
You're barely doing
it. No, I'll do it hard.
All right.
Whoa, very, very intense ring.
The bell's going down.
It is still there.
I do see the residue.
It is still there, still on my hands. So now I'll use this white towel. So now imagine a towel at your house. I understand paper towel's probably smarter, but let's go over this. Just towel. Number one, this is insane. This looks like a clown wiped their face off.
there's a lot of Cheeto residue.
There is so much Cheeto residue on there. Now, I've wiped my hands. I'm not doing it soft, just so everyone sees I'm doing it hard. It is still on my fingers.
Right, because you haven't washed your hands
yet. Okay, so I have some water here.
All right.
Oh, my God, I can't.
Yeah. You came prepared, guys.
Yeah, do it over the carpet. That's
By
perfect.
The way, I'm like Mr. Wizard. I put water on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going back to the towel, which, by the way, again, this is insane. This can't happen
it
on normal
food. It does look like you're cleaning up a crime scene.
It does. And then back to my hands. It is still, I know it's minimal, but it is still there on the top.
Right.
Of the finger as Kevin continues to snack.
Kevin is eating your entire bag of Cheetos just while you're talking.
Now, I have washed my hands in front of you. I have wiped my hands in front of you. I have left a towel honestly looking like, look at this.
I mean, it's got a little residue on.
This looks like, what's her name? Adina Day? Audra Day? This looks like Audra Day wiped her face.
This is
an insane amount of I had six of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problematic snack by all.
Okay,
but you love it.
I think it's one of the best snacks in the world.
How do we change this for you?
So, all right, I'll let go.
So
we have a listener that has an idea.
Oh,
too.
I'd love to have line two. I'd love to have that.
Okay, Andrew in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
Yeah, we covered that. Now,
good
now
morning
you
is covered.
Yep, I just wanted to mention to you guys, Jensen, I'm Asian. I eat Cheetos with chopsticks.
And by the way, I have chopsticks next to me, and I appreciate Andrew because I think he's right. I've never done it before, but I do think what a dream this would be. Also, I want to throw out that with my hands, getting it near my mouth, I think that this is such a problematic thing that I think it leaves red marks around your mouth even. If even the small amount of red residue gets around your mouth,
right?
Yeah, it leaves DNA, is what I'm saying. But now I'm going to try it with a chopstick. I'm using it right now. Mm-hmm. This looks like a pretty good solution.
Okay. It does.
Just like that.
With the chopsticks, you can clear your lips pretty well.
Clear your lips.
You
exactly.
can clear your lips. You
He's 100% right. That's why I bring it up. And I can.
Andrew, do you have OCD?
I don't, but I hate chopstick residue. Doritos residue on my fingers. It's a mess and it's sticky and
He's not wrong.
It's problematic if you're eating them at work.
It just isn't that.
he's dead right.
You don't want to get orange thumbprints on your documents.
Guys, what other snack do you All know right. that makes it look like you murdered your wife?
Right? Let's try Francisco East LA. I think he's going to give you nightmares with what he's calling in to say.
All right. Hold, please. Francisco, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good, thank
you. What do you have on the hot Cheeto controversy?
I have the perfect answer for you.
Okay.
So you go to these Mexican snack places anywhere in LA, mm-hmm. And they serve you hot Cheetos with nacho cheese, and they give you a fork.
That's great. That's a great idea.
Doesn't a fork break it apart?
Well, the cheese just disintegrates in the hot Cheeto, but it's still amazing. The kicker is the nacho cheese. If you haven't had hot Cheetos with nacho cheese, you haven't lived.
That sounds pretty strong.
Okay. It does sound strong.
It sounds great, yeah.
But that doesn't help you if you're just at home and all you have is a bag of Cheetos, right?
No, I'd have to find a Mexican store near my house.
Exactly.
But I'm willing to make the trek.
I see the love you have for the food, and that's why you're willing to go through so much of it. But you're going to have to accept that you're going to have Cheeto dust on your hands. It's going to go with it. It's like being a coal miner. You can't go down there and work all day and not come out with a little dust.
Very similar to coal mining.
It is,
by the way.
Lord.
I just want everyone to know that if you see me at like Acoustic Christmas or if you see me at like April Foolishness and you shake my hand and I leave behind residue on your entire outfit, please understand it's hot Cheetos and it's because you people aren't willing to transform and bring chopsticks with you when you're ready to snack.
And I would like to add that finally, thanks to this segment, I now know why my penis is always orange.
Still eating them. Still eating
them. Hey, Cheetos are really good.
Mm-hmm. Jensen, you got it. You were chopsticks. You were happy with chopsticks to get some of the hot Cheetos residue off your hands.
Yes.
But a listener sent you a product that you didn't know you needed until right now.
I am absolutely obsessed with it. I guess Amazon does have chip holders. They're like little finger condoms for you, and they do work perfectly. It's from Raul hashtag digital underscore freak with a PH, which I'm not going to ask about.
Do you throw them out when you're done?
No, they're reusable. Finger covers for cheesy, greasy, sticky fingers. It's great.
Wouldn't they just have the residue on them at all times? Like, where would you keep them to not get residue, like, in a drawer?
I think they're easily washable. Mm. They look like they could just like any, you know, like a plate.
If you're at home eating your hot Cheetos, sitting on your couch, you don't want the residue, why not just wear a glove on one hand?
I would do that, but I'm talking about in public.
Okay.
Yeah, I had an issue about
should
public.
Wear in public as well.
I feel like you should definitely wear a glove in
yeah,
public.
No, I'm always about two steps away from a full bubble. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a great suggestion and a great product. Thank you for that. It's Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means great news coming up right after Allie takes a look at what's happening.
Bean, I know you're not on Instagram, but it might be a good idea for you to get on just to stay on top of breaking news situations about some of your favorite people.
Oh, Dave is trying to talk me into getting on Instagram, and I'm very seriously considering it. But this may put me over the top. What's going on?
This has to do with your sweet Zach.
I'm in. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Zac Efron captioned an Instagram picture of himself on Friday in a hospital bed.
Oh, no. Shirt on or shirt off?
He went under the knife following a recent snowboarding injury. And here's the caption. I tore my ACL shredding the gnar, but it's all good. I opted for surgery so I can come back stronger than ever. Bean, you're sweet Zach.
In the hospital, I would love to shred his gnar. I don't know what that means.
What is with you today?
What? What do you mean?
I mean, the red or the orange on your penis. Now right. You're talking about shredding his gnar.
I was up very late last night, remember?
Yep.
Yep. Grammys ended my time at like 11:30 or something.
Uh-huh.
And then I was up cutting up all the tape and I didn't get much sleep. And I don't know. I just think I'm feeling it, I guess.
You all are right. Feeling it. By the way, the picture is him in a sweatshirt and what looks like pants and a hat. However, if you go to the next picture.
Go on.
It's a happy picture, happy birthday picture to, I believe, his brother, whoever Dylan Efron is. And it's the two of them shirtless in front of a waterfall. So, I'm just letting you know.
Daddy Likey.
I thought you might be interested in that picture.
Daddy Likey.
Just the next one. Nope. So there you have it.
Daddy Likey. Okay.
I think we got it.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about how Bean and Omar are just anti-Valentine's Day. They say that they treat their ladies with respect and give gifts, and they're so full of love 364 days a year. They don't need to do something special on that 365th.
Right.
Well, if you're looking for a sweet, unique Valentine to give someone you love, Dunkin' has your back. Dunkin' Donuts. They've released downloadable free Valentines.
Hey, babe, here's a donut.
No, these are free Valentines called Dunkin' Tines. All you have to do is download them from the Dunkin's website. You can then print them out or email them to their recipient.
By the way, K-Rock Wheels Up 2019, destination number 5, I don't think we've mentioned yet, is going to be Vampire Weekend, who I love, you guys.
Yep.
At the Hollywood Bowl October 2nd, and then you're eligible for the grand prize drawing we'll do next Monday to see the band in Spain at the Mad Cool Festival in Madrid. 4-night hotel stay, round trip airfare, qualify all week long on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m. And later this hour, we'll find out who won last week's grand prize to see Panic at the Disco in London. That's all coming up.
The news can be super depressing. If you watch too much of it, you have to pretty much limit yourself, don't you?
It's a lot.
Because it puts you in a bad mood because it's just negative, negative, negative. And that's why on Monday mornings we do great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news.
I will start. The Central Texas State Veterans Cemetery in Killeen, Texas, was planning the funeral of Air Force veteran Joseph Walker. And as they do, they tried to find relatives. Mm-hmm. They could find none. They tried to find friends. They could find none.
This is an older veteran who passed away? Okay.
From Vietnam. So he passes away, and they can't find family or friends. And then they posted on Facebook, "We have the distinct honor to provide a full military burial for unaccompanied United States Air Force veteran Joseph Walker on Monday, January 28th, 2019. At the end, it says, please come out and attend. We do not have any family or friends, and we do not leave veterans behind." So they're asking for total strangers to show up at this guy's funeral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Over 1,000 people showed up at this man's funeral.
That's amazing.
And a lot of them were veterans. A lot of it was biker gangs that would say, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
Over 1,000 people. This is from the news.
And look at the line of people, perfect strangers, answering the call. One of the drivers in that traffic, ready to pay his respects.
We are in a line. The entrance is way up there. This is like overflow parking here in the grass.
This is Central Texas State Veterans Cemetery. Off in the distance, all of those strangers and their American flag. A community paying its respect.
I just think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because most people, I think, would look at that and go, that's something I should do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't a lot of times. But over the top.
It's not a trap.
It's not a trap. But over 1,000 people showed up.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. And that's my great news.
That's a good one. That's I know it's not a competition, but that's going to be a tough one to top today. I have a soft spot for organ donation stories. You know that this is a cause that I am personally invested in.
Right.
And this is a woman named Abby Dunkel. She's a mom who lives in Illinois, and she became aware of organ transplants about 20 years ago when a friend of hers died, and she got a chance to meet the man who got her friend's kidney. And ever since then, she thought, man, if I ever get the opportunity to donate a kidney, I think I'm going to do that. Well, it popped up in her Facebook feed. Somebody in her feed had posted that this guy, a police officer in St. Louis named Ryan Armistead, was in very bad shape, had been on dialysis for about 3.5 years and was in really, really poor health. And she decided that she would reach out to him and offer to give her kidney to a perfect stranger. You do see stories like this a few times a year, and it always amazes me.
Yeah.
I have to get up very close to my screen because this is a screen cap of the message she sent on her phone, and here's what it says. Hi, Ryan. My name is Abby, and a few months ago, your news story showed up on my Facebook feed, and I started the process to see if I might be a match for you. Well, I finished the process last week, and we are a match. I was told today that your transplant coordinator should contact you next week to tell you, but I figured you may not want to wait that long to find out. If you're not wanting to be in touch, I completely understand. You don't need to respond unless you'd like to. Please don't feel obligated to, but I'm happy to get to know you before the transplant if you'd like. Imagine what it was like for that police officer and his family. When they got that message, they said, I literally fell to my knees. I broke down in tears. So did my wife. So just before Christmas, Amy Dunkel and her husband went to the police officer, Mr. Armistead's home, to meet him, see his dialysis machine, and it hit home that it's the real deal. Well, they have since had the transplant, and both are doing great. The surgery was on January 22nd at Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis. Everything went well, and they are lifelong friends, by the way. They talk on the phone every single day. Now the Armisteads have
they money problems because they got to pay for this procedure, and they got a GoFundMe page set up to help cover the hospital bills that are not covered by insurance. But think about that. Think about going through all of the testing and then the surgery for somebody you don't even know.
I was super impressed by you doing it, Bean, for mm-hmm. somebody that we all know.
Somebody that we knew and, yes. we're friends with and loved. Yeah.
And that, to me, was super impressive. This yeah. is a person doing it for somebody that they don't know.
A perfect stranger. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful story, and it's a happy ending for everybody. And I'm so pleased to see something like that. So that is my great news.
Do you think after, though, she totally was like, so I've got some tickets that I'd like to go away, right? Like, I gave you a kidney, right? Wouldn't you?
Sure.
It's not a trap. No.
It's not a trap.
Well, I will tell you, in the years after Scott Mason took mine, it didn't get me any better engineering service. I'll tell you that. I still no. couldn't get a goddamn light bulb replaced.
Sucker!
All right. Well, mine is about a little girl named Abigail Arias. She had a really big dream. All she wanted to do was become a police officer. And on Thursday, that dream came true when she was officially sworn in as an honorary officer in Freeport, Texas, because she's 6 years old. But she has something called Wilms tumor, which is a type of kidney cancer in children. And apparently the chemo and radiation haven't worked. And her family said, we just want her to enjoy life right now. So what happened was they had a Pancakes with Santa event back in December. And the police chief wound up meeting her during that event. And she expressed her desire to become a police officer. So he took it upon himself to put things in motion to fulfill that dream. He reached out to a company called Cop Stop. They got a custom fit little Freeport uniform designed for her. They donated the uniform. She got a little duty rig and a gun belt.
A gun?
Well, a gun belt, not a real gun.
Oh, okay.
And then she was sworn in, surrounded by her family and police officers from around the state. And the video is amazing. It's just
the video
this...
of her tasing a guy on the street.
Nope. It's her standing up on a chair so she could be eye level with the police chief as she's being sworn in. And then
and
they
she sprayed mace right in
nope,
his face.
No. Nope. Okay. And then they interviewed the police chief and he breaks down and he said, it's great when we put the good guys away, but this has been the highlight of my career.
I think she's too young to be a police officer.
She is a honorary police officer.
I'm concerned about her safety out on the street.
The love of God. So it's a beautiful, beautiful moment and a beautiful video. And you just see this little girl just realizing all her dreams coming true. And the fact that they could do this for her was just, it was amazing. So that's my great news.
Last night, the Grammys was 3 hours and 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I didn't mind. I kind of didn't mind, with a few exceptions. I thought it was poor planning to bring out the president of the Academy and then the death montage at 3 hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah, that was... and they were back to back. That's not what you want.
Yeah, that's tough that late in the show. Uh-huh. Maybe get that out of the way in the middle a little bit. But the one thing that the Grammys does that none of the other shows do is they don't give away most of the awards on TV. I think they only give away 9 or 10 of them during the telecast, and the rest of them are all off air, which kind of sucks for the people who win them. But Allie's been telling you about the winners and losers in the major categories, and we talked a little bit about Alicia Keys earlier in this morning. She was unbelievable. I think she is getting thumbs up from everyone as a host.
I thought she was great, too.
Doing something completely different, not going out there, not doing bits, not trying to be a comedian, but just being in the moment and happy and positive. And, man, can she play piano. She sits down at one point on a bench, I guess they're called, between two pianos.
Yeah.
And is playing this song, left hand on one piano, right hand on the other piano.
Sort of showing off, right?
I mean, it's unbelievable that she does that. And I guess it only makes sense if you have somebody like Alicia Keys, somebody so talented as Alicia Keys, hosting your show. Of course, you're going to have her perform.
I've tweeted and used Postmates at the same time, so.
No way.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah.
And she did an interesting thing while she was sitting there at the pianos, and it almost felt like improv. I know it wasn't, but she did, what were some of the songs she did? She did a Nat King Cole song. She did a Roberta Flack song.
She did LMA.
She did the LMA boot up song.
Coldplay, Clocks.
She did Clocks by mm-hmm. Coldplay. Here's a little bit of her doing Kings of Leon during that segment. And again, the segment was called Songs I Wish I'd Written. And it just shows you that, man, if you're talented enough, you can sing anything and make it sound great.
Now, who didn't wish they wrote this song. I know I do. But we can't do everything. We all need somebody.
Again, still playing two pianos.
Yeah.
I've been roaming around, always looking down, still didn't see.
I mean, if that's what you want.
Definitely a very surprising choice for Alicia Keys, but she just killed it. It was great.
I could have watched 3 hours of just that.
Yeah,
and I would have been
you.
Happy.
What were your favorite performances of the night, Allie? I think I know what mine was. There were many good ones to choose from.
Oof, that's tough. Brandi Carlile absolutely killed it.
Brought the house down.
It was unbelievable. Just
Kevin,
so
are you familiar
moving.
With her?
No, I'm not.
She's amazing.
That
okay.
was, yeah, amazing. It was really good. I really enjoyed Dolly Parton's tribute. I thought that was phenomenal. Katy Perry, no. During that, like, maybe let's chill out. Maybe not be so aggressive singing country music. That was
she
a bit much.
Seemed like a great fit.
It was odd. It was odd.
For that,
yeah.
For that one. What'd you think of your friend Janelle Monáe?
Janelle Monáe so was phenomenal. I loved watching, though, people on Twitter like, oh, you're just going to steal Prince's licks? Or the fact that he was writing that album with her when he passed away and gave her
right.
that lick.
Yeah.
No big
yeah.
deal.
It's
but
a co-write.
Who were the Beyoncé protégés that did the Donny
Chloe
Hathaway
and Haley?
Song? Good God.
Yeah, they're
that's
very good.
Crazy
they,
singing.
They should
yeah.
have done the Motown tribute.
Thank
because
you. That was
that
my point.
Was holy.
What's the? Why do you have Woo. So much great talent in that room? Look, Jennifer Lopez is fine. She's a great dancer, I think. Mm-hmm. She's a good actress. She's a fair singer.
Yeah, I'm super excited next year when they have Alien Ant Farm tribute Metallica.
But why, of all the people in the world, yeah. do you choose her when there are literally 1,000 musicians from Detroit, for instance, that could have done that Motown medley?
But I thought Jennifer Hudson would have been incredible. But I also think my issue with it is that it became a J-Lo celebration.
Yeah, it was about her.
It was
more
about
than
her more
Motown.
Than it was about Motown.
Yeah.
And I think that really underserviced. I mean, Smokey Robinson came out for what, 13 seconds?
Right.
Like, it just became about her dancing and her the shape she's in. And also, if there's anything that you don't think about lip syncing when it comes to Motown. And
right.
the whole performance was lip synced. It just right. felt like an out of touch tribute.
I think that yeah. helped her, though, the
yeah.
lip sync.
I mean, it was thankful for us,
yes.
but bad for Motown.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, I'm going to point out one other performance that I thought was brilliantly conceived and executed, and that was St. Vincent with Dua Lipa.
It was great.
Yeah,
they
I love that too.
Amazing together.
Yeah. My friend sent me a text message. She goes, "Watch out, America. You're all lesbians now."
All right. There was one controversial moment, and I have questions for you, Jensen, because you're deep into the rap world here.
Yes.
So Drake had famously, along with Childish Gambino and Kendrick Lamar, declined the invitation
yes.
to perform on the show. Yet he did show up last night,
yeah.
but not sitting in the audience. He was curiously backstage when one of his categories, I think, for best rap song that he ended up winning for.
That
God
was said. Odd.
Yeah.
How was he backstage just for that one? Or did he just lurk all night long backstage in case he won something and
yeah.
didn't want to be seen in the crowd?
Yeah, he was working in catering and they said, come on up. No, I was surprised by that as well.
That
I
was mean, weird.
Yeah, and also, you know, a lot of people think he rallied against the Grammys. In
well, let
speech.
Me play the tape because
okay.
here's Drake, and he steps up, and he's just won a Grammy, so the very first thing he says is...
It's like the first time in Grammy's history where I actually am who I thought I was for a second, so I like that. That's really nice.
I mean, that's a mild burn right there, because, hey, they're saying I'm the greatest. I already know that I'm the greatest. It's about time they recognize that. But he's not done.
I definitely did not think I was winning anything. My brother's here. I want to take this opportunity while I'm up here to just talk to all the kids that are watching this, that are aspiring to do music, all my peers... that make music from their heart, that do things pure and tell the truth. I want to let you know we play in an opinion-based sport, not a factual-based sport. So it's not the NBA where at the end of the year you're holding a trophy because you made the right decisions or won the games. This is a business where sometimes, you know, it's up to a bunch of people that might not understand, you know, what a mixed-race kid from Canada has to say or...
I mean, he makes a really good point that just because a bunch of white guys predominantly, older guys predominantly, certainly until they expanded the roster of who votes for the Grammys, mm-hmm. just because they don't get what you're doing doesn't mean
but
what you're doing isn't great.
But it was odd that he said that while winning.
Yeah, it's getting to a point where, like, Eminem talks about his haters all the time. You're like, bro, you haven't had a hater in, like, you know, a long time. You're very, very famous. But I do think, like, it's harder to say it now. Obviously, hip-hop pretty much swept the awards.
Right.
Yeah. But that is a new thing. And these guys are going to have to, I guess, see proof for a few years that they're not going to feel, you know. You got to remember, Steely Dan beat Eminem.
Yeah, that's insane.
And that's an insane moment. Yeah. And so I think guys like Macklemore beat Kendrick.
Yep.
And things that were happening that didn't feel like they were really truly respecting culture. So it's going to be something that they have proven over time.
But last night, having Childish Gambino win the Record of the Year and the Song of the Year.
Yeah.
That goes a long way.
And having Travis Scott perform and, you know, things that went on, I think, that were good for rap.
Can we discuss the Travis Scott performance?
It wasn't great.
The James Blake and the guy from Earth, Wind & Fire, Philip Bailey.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah.
You are both amazing singers. Together, neither of you could find any note that was corresponding with the other person.
Wrong.
Everything about it was... It was the most painful thing I've watched in a very long time.
And also, I would have, obviously, we all would have liked to see Sicko Mode instead of Can't Say or whatever. Like, I would have rather seen The Hit performed than what they went with. But I do want to celebrate Diana Ross because she did the most Diana Ross thing ever. I thought, number one, it's the best. She told the audience, you know, it's my birthday and happy birthday to me. Her birthday's not till March 26th.
Right. Right.
What? Like, it's not even that.
What? Yeah, she is turning 75 later this year.
Yes.
Not last night.
Yeah.
She kept saying happy birthday to me.
Yes. Not her birthday.
With her arms outstretched, everything about it was
I assumed it was yesterday or today.
No.
What?
It's the most Diana Ross thing.
Don't be lazy, Kevin. Don't be lazy.
That's insane.
It's her birthday half year.
But let me play one more clip. And this is a complaint that Kevin and I have had for many years about many different award shows. Look. If you're nominated, there's a chance you're going to win.
Don't be that surprised.
You can't be that surprised that you look. You may be shocked that you won, but at least you should have given it some thought. If I do win, I should have something to say. Don't be Cardi B.
Oh, my goodness. Ciao. I'm sorry.
This went on for like a minute before she talked.
I'm sorry. I just, the nerves are so bad. Maybe I need to start smoking weed.
Okay, well, there you go. At least she learned a little something about Cardi B last night, right?
She should have pulled out a joint right there.
It's also weird because, like, they perform live all the time. Like, you know, she's done tons of live performances, but the one where she wins an award is the one where she just can't talk. But I thought it was pretty genuine.
It did seem genuine.
Yeah, have a card with the names on it. Right?
That would help, sure. Yeah.
Here's a fun Grammy fact I just read. Greta Van Fleet, those teenagers out of Michigan who sound so much like Led Zeppelin, won the Best Rock Album Grammy yesterday, untelevised award. They have now won more Grammys than Led Zeppelin did.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Does that seem right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Good with it. Hey, Alex Jones, right-wing nut job radio host, is in a feud with our friend Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the beef correspondent Jensen Karp in about 20 minutes to break it all down for us. I have no idea what it's about, but I can't wait to hear about that. That's on the way. Also, next hour, we'll be looking for you if you hooked up with your significant other's parents.
Oh.
your girlfriend's mom or your husband's dad. We're going to want to hear your stories. That's all coming up.
That's not awkward at all.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
So that's good.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Let's talk just for a second about tickets to the wrong day or the wrong event, because it seems to happen to everybody.
Yeah.
Bean, you had a story?
I did. I had a story that made me super sad. Let's get Dave in here,
sad.
Too, because I know Dave had a story, too. I bought tickets a couple of years ago to the great singer-songwriter John Prine,
who I love
so much. And it was at the Sanger Theater here in New Orleans. And my wife and I are getting ready to go out. It was on a Saturday night. I was very much looking forward to it. You know, I very rarely go to shows, but this was one that I couldn't wait to see. He's one of those legends that I want to see while he's still with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I print out the tickets, and I look at them, and I go, oh, no. These are for last night.
Ugh.
And what had happened is I had gone to the website, and apparently not paying attention, I bought tickets for a different Sanger Theater. I think it's in Birmingham, Alabama, or Biloxi, Mississippi, or something like that.
Wrong day, wrong city?
Yes, wrong day, wrong city. So it was for the night before in another state.
That's a whole other level.
With the same name of theaters, though.
Same name of theaters, yes.
That's kind of messed up.
So it's still 100% on me. I felt like such a dummy, and I had really been looking forward to this, and Donna had too, and I had to go down and womp, womp.
Oh, man.
Honey, take the pretty dress off. We're not going to see John Prine tonight. It sold out, of course, so that was mine.
Good
Kevin,
times.
You had one that was... kind of bad too, right?
Well, it was Friday night, and I decided that I needed to go to the Laker game at the last minute. So I got a friend. I don't remember who it is at this point.
This was back when it was a possibility they could win a game, and it would be exciting to be there.
So we, you know, battled Friday traffic, finally got down there, drove up to the Forum excited.
Yeah.
And there was not a car there.
Oh,
it was not a well-attended game.
Way early?
It was empty because it was an away game.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
Yep. Well, probably from the time I said, hey, let's go to the Laker game, to the time we got there was probably an hour and a half.
Wow.
Did you drive to Arizona, or where was the game?
It was an away game. You're already in the car, man.
Yeah, let's get to Phoenix real quick.
That's crazy, right?
That's not good.
We're going to take your calls on wrong night, wrong ticket, wrong something, wrong venue, whatever it was that screwed you
wrong
up.
Wrong state.
You could, in my case, if you're a dumbass, right? You can't believe it that you had tickets to the wrong event. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Jensen, has it ever happened to you?
I mean, nope.
just curse yourself.
No, I mean, I double, I triple, I quadruple check.
I'd like to say so does Bean. He's that way, too.
I do.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe I fell for that. I have
looked incorrectly before. Like, oh, that's a home game or an away game, and I'll look into it. And then I go, oh, this is an away game.
Yeah, I wish I would have done that.
Yeah.
How about you, Allie?
I didn't actually go through with buying the ticket, but I got super stoked about seeing the Stone Roses in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally was like, you know what? It's the only place they're playing. I'm going to pull the trigger. This was like early July. They were playing the end of July. I'm like, I'm going. Done.
That's it.
Booked the flight. Cool. Went to get a ticket on a secondary site because it was sold out. Well, I couldn't get a ticket because the show was June 30th, so I had totally missed that, so that was dumb. That was the dumb, yeah, way dumb. So not only had I missed the show, I then had a flight to New York, so good times.
Good times.
Everyone. Good times.
And then, if I remember correctly, didn't they, like, 3 months later play Coachella?
Sure did.
Could have just seen him within driving distance of your house?
It's a big, big issue.
Before we go to your calls, 1-800-520-1067. If this has happened to you, King of Mexico, we're all coming clean. It's happened to almost all of us. How about you?
Well, guys, I had a hot date on Saturday night.
Okay.
We were going to go see Gwen Stefani live in concert.
All right.
Great seats, great tickets.
All right.
I go, she comes over, grab the tickets, notice her for Friday.
And what day were you?
It was Saturday night.
Oh, no.
So
it was the day before, and it had already expired. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
So I'm looking at the date going, oh, no, what do I do? So, of course, what do? I drive. We continue to go.
What?
And we go to the venue.
Dumb?
I just didn't say anything. I had no idea what I was going to do.
What?
Yeah. So went and ended up having to buy more tickets. So luckily there was good tickets available.
Why would you keep going? That doesn't make sense.
Because what was I going to do? I was going on a date with this girl.
But there was...
She wanted to see Gwen.
But you driving there doesn't get her to see Gwen.
Oh, well, it did. And luckily it worked out for me. I mean,
did you think at the venue they were going to be like, oh, sir, these are the wrong tickets, but go on in, have fun.
No, my goal was... Please let there be tickets, or ticket releases, you know, like holds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, please let there be holds. And there was. I lucked out.
I felt
like Kevin, where everything just worked out because the seats were center, Orc one, and and No Doubt came to perform with Gwen that night. So it was like the perfect night ever.
Did you get a handy?
No. Except for that.
I wish you would have bought scalpers tickets and they would have been counterfeit.
Yeah, so do I.
All right. Let's get right to your calls now. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try. Let's start with Danny in Newport Beach, please. Line 3. Get us going here on this topic.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, what's going on?
Bought the wrong tickets for the wrong day, wrong venue. What happened?
I showed up, bought the right tickets for the next day, long time. So I had kids in the car, everybody laughing. I was pulled up in, you know, how your wife shows up when you're supposed to be ready for a game and it's supposed to go in. And
what event was it?
But when I came to the valet, it was for an Angel game.
Angels, okay.
Angels game. So you had to go through the whole thing again the next day to come back and see the game you had tickets for.
Yeah, I had to relive the last thing of everybody in the car for the next
game. Sweet.
So it was pretty entertaining. So I busted up laughing and you guys had a
we'll talk about this.
We lost you on the phone, but we appreciate you listening, and thank you for calling as well. Let's try Tyson in Whittier, line one. This is pretty funny. This is not the substitution he was hoping for.
Hey, Tyson.
Yeah, not at all. We had a buddy that works at the venue, so we're getting some stinky passes. You guys know what those are. I meet behind. We get the stinky pass. I have my grandmother, who's never been to a concert before, going to be Willie Nelson.
Ooh.
And we walk in the front door, and she's like, man, that young Hispanic kids like Willie Nelson.
What?
Yeah, it was for Mana was that.
Oh! Did your grandma rock out? Did she love it?
Not really. She just was like, it was too loud. I had to get her earplugs. And we didn't stay the whole time. And she was so bummed.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
And then she died.
But,
well, I don't know why I have to go there, but thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that.
Willie Nelson, very different.
Mana.
Let's try line four, please. This is going to be Marlo in Pasadena. Hey, Marlo, I used to have a cat named Marlo.
That's a great fact.
You did? Yes, it's a beautiful name. What
can
we do for you?
As in, well, about, I think it was the 2015 show of Foo Fighters at the Anaheim Pond. It was in September, and they basically rescheduled only one show for the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. And I totally blame it. I totally blame it on this clinical trial that I was on for cancer. It, like, messed up my memory. So when I heard one of the dates, I'm like, oh, that's my show, so I didn't go. And a month later, I'm getting ready to print out my tickets a couple days before, and it turned out not to be the rescheduled show. I, like, missed the whole Foo show.
But at least you got to have cancer.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations to Nancy Silva, who doesn't have an address or a phone number or any way of reaching us. It's odd. She's
bad.
A drifter. I think a drifter won this contest.
I'm going to just send a pigeon out then.
Right.
She had to have a way to reach us in order to win the tickets to qualify for the grand prize.
Yeah, she called.
But we don't know how to reach her.
No address. I have no idea.
This is curious.
She won tickets to see Panic at the Disco locally, and she's also the grand prize winner of a trip to London, England to see Panic at the Disco.
Wow.
Pretty cool for a drifter, right?
It is, yes. She won't have a passport, though, which is unfortunate because she's living on the street. Every week we are sending you someplace fabulous. This time it's Vampire Weekend in Spain. That's the grand prize drawing we'll do next Monday to see them at the Mad Cool Festival. The local tickets are Vampire Weekend at the Hollywood Bowl on October 2nd, and your chance for that is coming up at 9 a.m. Our beef correspondent, Jensen Karp, brings us up to speed with what's going on between Joe Rogan and Alex Jones coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie is here with what's happening on a Monday.
Any of you see any movies this weekend?
I did. I saw Cold Case.
Cold Pursuit?
What was the name of it? Cold something.
Cold Pursuit?
Cold Pursuit.
Cold Pursuit?
It wasn't Cold Pursuit.
Okay.
You must have loved it.
Was it?
Yeah.
The Liam Neeson movie?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely Cold Pursuit.
Is that right?
100%.
I'm hoping you didn't get a tattoo of this film.
I did not. Okay. No. It's the Maroon 5 of movies. It was awful.
Really?
It was awful. It was like somebody said, here's Taken.
Right.
And they gave it to like a high school senior.
But Liam Neeson is such a good actor.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I feel like he's done Taken a bunch of times.
He did
Taken on a plane.
He's done three of them.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
The problem wasn't him, though?
No, he was fine. It was just written horribly, like you weren't really in. You weren't really rooting for him. I don't know. It was just bad.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, for the box office, the Lego Movie 2, the second part, is the number one movie this weekend.
Should have seen that one.
Earned $34.4 million, which doesn't really come close to the 2014 opening take of the original film, which took in $69 million.
Nice. Yeah, what happened there? I feel like this was kind of under-promoted, too.
Yeah, I do,
I agree.
Too. It was sort of under the radar.
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody really was talking about it. But
I'm excited to see it. The reviews are decent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're looking for.
I love decent. Lord and Miller produced, written by the guy who does BoJack Horseman. Mm-hmm. These are all things I love. All
right. Okay, yeah. Excellent. Coming in number two was What Men Want. You guys seen the previews for that?
That's Taraji P. Henson, yes. The remake of the Mel Gibson movie.
Yes.
I think I have seen the commercials. Yes, it is not for me.
Oh, looks very funny. Yes. Estimated $19 million for that. Coming in at number three, Cold Case, Cold Cut, Cold Whatever.
Cold Cut.
No, it is definitely Cold Pursuit. That's the Liam Neeson revenge thriller. Mm-hmm. Falling very short of expectations with a third place estimate of about $10.8 million. And then The Upside and Glass round out the top five.
You're a downer, man.
Yeah.
Just a lot of bad news.
She's just reporting it, man.
Just saying, you guys. You guys friends with your exes?
Some of them.
I mean, if you remember them.
Right?
Yeah. I'd like to be friends with all of them, but some of them I don't know.
No, I'm not friends. And I think that people who are friends with their exes are creepy.
Interesting. Well, really? A lot of people freaked out this weekend because it was Jennifer Aniston's 50th birthday party in L.A. Mm-hmm. and Brad Pitt stopped by.
Okay.
And people were like, wait, so what? They're back together. Oh, my God. Or just the fact that they're still friends, and that's amazing. And then there was a picture, I believe, of John Mayer stopping by.
He did. He attended.
So two of her ex-boyfriends. So if Vince Vaughn was there, I mean, that's a trifecta of exes. And kudos, Jennifer Aniston, for having some hot exes. Who's with me?
Kudos to Jennifer Aniston for looking the way she does at 50.
Yeah, she looks amazing. Some other guests, George and Amal Clooney, Reese Witherspoon, Robert Downey Jr., Ellen DeGeneres, Barbara Streisand, Keith Richards, Kate Hudson, Laura Dern,
Keith
Demi
Richards.
Moore.
These people aren't her friends.
Oh, listen, they were all there.
How does she know Barbara Streisand?
I don't know.
How does she know Keith Richards?
Get real friends, you creepy celebrity. Get real friends. Like, where's your friend from high school? Where's your real estate agent?
Well, it doesn't say, you know, Jenny from Cheerleading Squad. It doesn't
say that. But they should be on there. That's the cool. Yeah. Be a real human being.
That well, I imagine Jimmy news. Kimmel was there. They're actual close friends. They vacation together and whatnot.
He is not on this list.
Yeah,
but
I'm
sure he was
a real
there.
Friend. The invites went out by a publicist.
Why are you so mad? It's her party.
Because it's creepy. Have real friends. Be a human being. It's so strange that these people don't have, you don't see them bring in their, you know, even like their family members. Like,
well,
come
I
on.
I think they can't list everybody that went.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, Jenny from Cheerleading and Susie, my old next door neighbor, aren't making
Yeah, but
the
like,
news.
She's not really friends with Keith Richards. Guys, this is a celebrity. Come hang out. I need all. Oprah has these two. Ellen has these two. It's like these people who are friends with people who they've met once. And come to my birthday because you're really famous.
I think Jennifer Aniston and Keith Richards have serious girl chat a lot. Like they have Hallmark
you think
movie
they have
nights,
a group chat.
Everything, like
a,
yeah.
Braid each other's hair.
I think they're besties, you guys.
He's a bitch.
I agree with Jensen on this one, by the way. There's no way that Keith Richards could pick Jennifer Aniston out of a lineup.
No, it's because he's famous and he's there and it's so cool. We have Keith Richards here. It's like celebrities on Instagram who are like my best friend. It's like their hair stylist. It's like, get a real friend. One you're not paying.
Got some real friends about this. Good Lord. Well, some birthdays for you guys. Of course, Jennifer Aniston's birthday is today. Happy birthday to you. Taylor Lautner, Sheryl Crow, D'Angelo, Kelly Rowland, Damian Lewis. Right?
Right.
Homeland
Absolutely.
Billions.
Yeah.
Amazing. Brandy. Mike Shinoda.
She's a fine girl.
All she's right. what?
She's a fine girl.
Oh, okay.
Brandy.
Yeah.
She's a file.
Happy birthday, Mike Shinoda.
Mike Shinoda.
Happy birthday, Mike Shinoda.
Friend of the family.
And
a real friend.
Ha! So if he came to your birthday party, Jensen, it wouldn't be because he's famous.
I've known him since high school.
Okay.
Before fame.
Fair enough.
Hello.
What if you brought Keith Richards?
No, that's not a real friend.
Allie has one more. She's been trying to get it in.
Oops.
I've been trying to trust me. It's Kelly Slater. You are correct, sir. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That's Young the Giant with Superposition.
Cold Pursuit?
Superposition.
Cold Cut.
Cold Cutter.
I may have got the name of that movie
cold
wrong.
Case. Stone
Kevin
cold Case.
Kevin saw a movie yesterday cold, that cold he's already stone. Forgotten
no,
the name
No, it
of.
Was 2 days ago.
Cold Stone Creamery.
Hey, Jensen.
Yeah.
You made reference to something that is so relevant to my interest last week, yeah. And I'm embarrassed to say that I know next to nothing about this story, but you are our beef correspondent.
Yes.
There is a feud going on between Alex Jones, who's a despicable human being,
yes.
And inexplicably, one of the most popular radio and television personalities in America right now.
In the world.
In the world, yeah. He's huge.
Huge.
Even though he's been booted from Facebook, he's been booted from YouTube. I mean, everybody's tried to close him down, but he still has his hardcore fans that believe everything that comes out of his mouth. And he's in a feud with our friend Joe Rogan of the very popular Joe Rogan podcast. What's going on?
Well, Alex Jones have been and Joe Rogan have – and by the way, happy birthday, Alex Jones. We're doing this story on his birthday. Alex Jones and Joe Rogan have been friends for 20 years, which is something I was shocked to hear. I guess they have a history – because you know Alex Jones was kind of a comedy guy early in his career.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What?
And I think they I think they crossed paths.
Was he on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, yeah, he's a big improv guy. He went to UCB in New York and then moved out to Chicago. Joe had Alex on his show some years ago, which is how you've seen that image of Alex Jones smoking weed. That was from the Joe Rogan show. But recently Joe had on Jack Dorsey on his huge podcast, who's the head of Twitter, at Jack.
That dude owes me some money.
extremist idiots like Alex Jones, who went on that platform and tweeted things about Sandy Hook being a hoax or hinting that Supreme Court Justice Scalia was murdered with a pillow. Because of things like that misinformation, he was kicked off the platform.
Uh-huh.
And he's finding himself kicked off more and more platforms. So since he had Jack on the podcast, you'd think Joe Rogan might, you know, defend his friend of 20 years. That's at least what an idiot like Alex Jones thinks. But instead, it was the exact opposite. Joe started to distance himself from Alex Jones by saying, like, yeah, he should stop talking about Sandy Hook and stop talking about George Soros, which is kind of a weird coded word for Jewish people that people say, like, oh, George Soros is controlling the world and paying things off. They're all this misinformation that Alex is used to. So our boy, and by when I say our boy, I mean someone we want to distance ourselves from, Alex Jones, went on his show and started talking about the problem that he has with Joe Rogan, and it is crazy. Let's listen to the message he opens it with.
I'm built for war, Joe. Yeah, I don't act like a tough guy all day. I do the war, you understand? So the threats don't matter to me. I'll still be your friend. Joe, I'll never talk to you again. I'll never come on your show again. I'm going to destroy you. Don't give me any more pleasantries. I want war. Give me your attacks.
No, let it play.
Everything.
Let it play.
Hold. Now you understand the shape of things. That's good that you understand those. Now you understand that I'll get my hands politically around your neck, and all your tough guy crap's going to end real quick. God wants me to wage war.
Seriously.
God.
What?
Listen to this.
God told me, destroy Joe Rogan.
God told me.
Yes, sir, Jesus, I will do it. No more games. War. Ah!
What?
The real thing. War. War. War.
Unbelievable.
He's insane.
I did not edit it. So
that is unbelievable.
Jesus wants him to fight Joe Rogan.
So I know there's more, but so he's pretty chill about Joe coming down.
Very chill. How does he juggle being a religious person and fighting? Well, it's here.
I'm afraid of God. And when I'm not fighting you, I feel scared. When I'm fighting you, I see God smiling in the center of my soul, right in my heart. I know the wind is filling my sails and I'm on a journey where I'm supposed to go. I'm on the path of my ancestors. A path beyond the stars. A path to Valhalla.
What?
He is a fantastic broadcaster.
What is he talking about?
That is awesome.
He doesn't stop. He does make some sort of a distinction between true violence and political decisions, but I don't follow it.
Joe Rogan, metaphysically, is a Christmas hog. Huh? And I'm going to politically haul him up by his back legs and slit his throat. His blood will fill buckets politically, not violently. Get ready, Joe.
Politically.
I'm going to cut his throat open. I'm going to have the blood slit into buckets, but that's political, not violent. He continues
to sound violent at all.
No, not at all. He continues to be completely insane. He's truly thinking he's going to go into battle.
Once we stop fearing the devil and start taking the devil on is the day we start living. And then you see the horizon. You realize God's in control. And the bluff's got to be called. The enemy's got to be engaged. Bone's got to meet bone. Sword's got to meet shield. The axe has got to come down on that skull. And in the end, we'll see heaven.
That is insane.
That was my bar mitzvah speech.
Wow.
Can't believe he did it word for word.
Guys, am I the only one here who thinks it's legitimately awesome?
No, it's the
best. Oh, no, it's awesome.
It's so great.
Because he's clearly just insane.
Yeah, it's not.
You say it's awesome, but there are people listening right now that believe every word that's coming out of his mouth.
Well, that's the problem, is he has said things like Pizzagate being real, then someone shows up at the pizza place and has a gun and shoots inside. I mean, he's
dangerous.
Yeah, there's nothing awesome about this. He's insane. And
I am trying not to enjoy it then.
And when he went into his child custody battle, which he lost, when he went to his child custody battle...
Happy birthday, Alex Jones.
He told people he was a character on the radio, and that seemed like something he should probably be telling everyone. But as you can hear by this last clip that involves a Moby Dick analogy and also repeated farting sounds.
See, Captain Ahab isn't fighting a whale, is he? If you're a whale, you're fighting a big squid 10 times bigger than you. No whale, no sperm whale's ever fought that Joey, just a little sperm whale. There's a squid this long. That's me. One of my tentacles can...
What?
Your entire head.
What?
I'm going to show you right now. One tentacle right now is wrapped around you. Uh-huh. Just one.
What?
And don't worry. I'll show you. But I'm going to squeeze you slowly. Just slowly. Slowly, the big, tough Hollywood guy. Just very slowly. So I just squeeze. Squeeze and give you what you want, Hollywood. Because vengeance is God. The big, giant, burning plungers are even, they're like...
He's Michael Winslow all of a sudden.
And this is truly a beautiful ending.
Because I'm clear to fire, dude. Jesus, who you hate so much, said, Jesus told me to destroy Joe Rogan.
Jesus told him to destroy Joe Rogan.
Happy birthday, Alex Jones!
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
K-Rock Wheels Up 2019.
Your favorite K-Rock bands and places all over the world.
Destination 5.
Hike the Camino de Santiago while eating tapas and dancing de flamenco.
When you see Vampire Weekend in Spain.
Listen every day this week at 9, noon, 3, 6, and 9.
Qualify with a pair of tickets to see Vampire Weekend at the Hollywood Bowl on October 2nd. On sale now at Ticketmaster.com. One grand prize conquistador wins a trip to see him again at the Mad Cool Festival, July 11th to 13th in Madrid, Spain, with three-day passes.
Hi, this is Ezra from Vampire Weekend, and you're listening to the world-famous K-Rock.
Driven by your helpful SoCal Honda dealers and their random acts of helpfulness.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
At Jared, we know devotion isn't a once-a-year occasion. And once the flowers have wilted and the chocolates have disappeared, you'll still want them to know how much you care. Dare to give a gift that lasts this Valentine's Day with our incredible selection of jewelry. From delicate rose gold to bold black diamonds, Jared has hundreds of pieces under $299 and exclusive collections you won't find anywhere else. Shop online or find a store near you at Jared.com and dare to be devoted.
It's the President's Day Appliance Sale at JCPenney. Get up to 40% off select major appliance hot deals, like an LG front-load washer and dryer. Save up to $800 when you buy the pair. Plus, get 18 or 30-month special financing on qualifying purchases with your JCPenney credit card through February 27th. Get in, save big, JCPenney. Offers valid 27 through 227. Select models. Some exclusions apply. Must request a time of purchase. Special financing and new account discount offers cannot be combined. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or jcp.com/appliances for details.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes, warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank, where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes, and you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
If you served in the military,
then you've got connections.
ConnectingVets.com is the website that serves those who serve.
Every day you'll get the news that matters to vets. News about going back to college.
Companies looking to hire veterans.
And stories about the amazing things we do after the military. Whether you served in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, or Coast Guard,
you gotta check out ConnectingVets.com.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Here I go. Bundling home and auto with Progressive can save you money on your car insurance. No kidding. Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I added that last part in. You can edit that out, right? Or you can keep it in if you like. I mean, my opinion is I think it's good. I think other people my age would like it. Very relatable. I mean,
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. Call the Afro line and leave us a message about anything.
Yeah!
323-520-AFRO.
To leave a message.
K-Rock.
Allie, you were off a few days last week, probably in Las Vegas. And yeah. So you missed a story that we talked about that I think has great great potential for a call-in topic with our listeners.
Okay.
You're dating somebody, yet somehow you end up also hooking up with that person's mother or father.
Oh.
That's the topic we're looking for here.
Right?
At 1-800-520-1067. And the reason we
doesn't complicate things at all.
No, it's fine. The reason we got, hey, everybody's a consenting adult here, right?
Sure.
We started talking about this topic because there was a story in the news about a mother-in-law who has the hots for her daughter's husband and has always been kind of flirty and has always kind of said things, and they just wrote it off to she's just a horny old lady.
Jeez. A weird thing for her daughter to say.
Right?
Yeah, she's just thirsty. So she's always kind of flirty, and it kind of got to the point where it became uncomfortable, where at one point the daughter went to her mom, and I'm sure it was a combination of an embarrassing conversation to have, and also she was kind of mad, and it's a hard conversation to have with your mom. But she said, look, you've got to dial it down. He's not your boy toy. He's my husband, and you need to start treating him like that, like part of the an appropriate relationship with a member of the family, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's thing one. Thing two is that conversation went in one ear and out the other with mom, because when the daughter was over visiting and in the bathroom and left her phone out, the mom flipped through the photos on her daughter's phone and found the naked pictures that the husband had been sending to his wife.
Mom found the naked pictures that the guy was sending to her daughter.
That's
okay.
Right. What did she do?
Oh, God.
Cover her eyes, horrified that she saw it and invaded her daughter's privacy and vowed to never do it again and be better?
Yes.
Or emailed them to herself so
no.
She'd have them for later.
Like a little spank bank?
Yes.
Oh. How crazy is that?
What? Her mother.
Her mother.
Oh, my God.
Her daughter noticed that her phone had been moved while she was in the restroom and realized what had happened and blew her top. Her mother wasn't sorry about it, refused to delete them. The husband is now reaching out for advice, saying, it's effing awful. My wife and I have a few weird fetishes, and so some of the photos that I took are for her eyes only. It's really humiliating to be seen by people who aren't my wife. So now this family is broken in two, Allie, because the mom is standing firm that it's just a couple of photos. It's no big deal. The husband is saying, look, I don't want to have anything to do with that woman. They have a family event coming up with another sibling that's going to be in town. And they're like, the couple has decided they're not inviting the mom over. So the mom's going around telling everybody that they have cut her off without saying why. Oh, my kids, they're the worst. My daughter won't even talk to me anymore. What did I do to deserve this?
By the way, want to see a quick pic?
And the daughter doesn't want to tell anybody what's really going on because it's so embarrassing.
Oh my gosh.
It's a nightmare.
This
right?
is bad.
And yeah. I don't know how you resolve. I'm not a big fan of parents and children being out of touch and being enemies. I don't know how you get past this one.
This woman is a horrible person.
Absolutely.
She needs help.
Yeah.
She needs help.
And I don't think the daughter and or husband could do anything for her. You have to cut her off.
Yeah.
Or, you know, nail her. One or the other.
Oh, okay.
That happens sometimes,
get it
too.
Out of her system.
Sometimes that happens,
okay.
too.
Okay.
Right?
That's a great idea, Kevin. Nail her, but be awful.
Kevin's right. the worst therapist ever.
I'm just saying there are a lot of other stories where they do strangely have sex with
yes.
mom or dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
The other person's mom or dad. Let me just clarify that.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, it's not just in porn that you go over to see your girlfriend and she's not home yet. But the mom is there, and all of a sudden, one thing leads to another. I mean, that does happen in real life. Now, we did this topic. It's been years since we've done it, but I think it's time to revisit it. I think we want to hear your stories, Kevin and Bean listeners, and you can be anonymous, of course. If you have hooked up with your significant other's parent,
or if you
they've
have friends
hooked up with yours.
Or if you have friends that have that
yeah,
happen
yeah, yeah.
too. Because I can't imagine there's a lot of this. It's just too weird, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it is weird, but it also kind of depends on the relationship. Like in this husband-wife situation and the mother-in-law, of course, it should never, ever happen. But if you're dating a girl for 4 weeks
yeah.
and she's 25 and the mom is 45,
yeah,
I mean, everybody wins there, right?
I feel like this is real specific, Dean.
I'm just saying, just as a random example out of nowhere, Allie. I'm just saying.
I don't think everybody wins in that particular case.
Well, I mean...
Because the younger daughter who's 25 is not going to be thrilled.
I guess what I'm saying is it's understandable how something like that could happen. It all depends on the depth of the relationship and how hot the parent is, too, by the way. I mean, seriously, Allie, you're dating a guy and then you find out that his father is like McDreamy or something. That's different. I mean, that all of a sudden that does change things a little bit.
Sure.
But wait, does it change things enough that she should nail that guy?
If he looks like McDreamy?
Yeah. I think so.
For sure.
I think
you got to
go for
dad.
All right. So that's the topic. We will see how it goes. I hope we have some listeners who have been through this or know people who have, because we definitely want to hear those stories. Please get to the phone and call us 1-800-520-1067. This could be a lot of fun, and we'll talk to you next on
All right. Just ahead of No Doubt, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Anthony in Riverside. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, I'm Kevin.
Reference. We should call him King Anthony, by the way. Here's the topic. You hooked up with your significant other's parent. Anthony, you lived through this? You did this?
Oh, yeah. It was probably like 3 years ago.
All right. Tell us about it.
I went to high school with this girl. Me and her were dating on and off. And she invited me to her mom's party that she was having. And her mom's like super hot. And had too many drinks. She told me I had to sleep in the guest bedroom, and her mom had been flirting with me all night. And all I remember is hearing the door open, and her mom came inside, closed the door behind her, and then from that, that's where it happened.
Well, it's quite the conversationalist. I can imagine how that's where that
went. You can get two chicks in one family with that kind of game. The girlfriend must have been aware of it if she was there in the house too, no?
Well, she didn't know for probably like 6 months. Me and her mom were seeing each other.
You kept seeing the mom.
Yeah.
Oh, it was not a one-time hookup. She went back to that well for more.
She found out because she went through her mom's phone and saw all my messages.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Yeah.
I don't feel
all right.
Like
well,
that.
You sound like a keeper. I can't blame them. I mean, I certainly understand the attraction. Anthony, glad you're listening. Glad you're called. Congratulations, by the way. You're the man. 1-800-520-1067. If you have a similar story told better, we want to hear from you coming up on K-Rock. You guys weren't buying Anthony's story?
No, I don't think it was
not
real.
Even a little
mom
bit.
Coming in at night during
no,
the party?
No,
no.
Not buying it.
Talking about hooking up with your significant other's parent, Rachel writes in, one of my cousins had a baby with her boyfriend and then shortly after that had a baby with her boyfriend's father. We don't associate with that side of the family.
Wow.
Here's some souvenirs, right?
Souvenirs,
Pete.
It's a baby.
1-800-520-1067. We're taking your calls on this topic. East LA, we go to Martin up next, line one on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Martin.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
We're great, but apparently not as great as you. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, yeah. The story's not about me. It's about my sister and her daughter.
Okay.
My sister was dating this guy. He was like a real estate agent. He was doing very good. And they're going now. They're pretty steady. It looked like they were going to hook up, get married or something. And my niece got in the picture. And, you know, you can see them getting very, very, very flirty. And they were always hanging out. And
how old was your niece?
My niece? Yeah. Now she.
No, how old was she at the time?
She at the time she was probably like 25. She's like 28 now.
Because when you say niece, for some reason we're thinking like 7, and we had some.
Yeah, that hurts. All right, so continue. That's it.
Oh yeah, so you know they started getting very flirty with each other, and I don't know where my sister just dropped out of the picture.
Damn, Gina.
Yeah, you know, and then you just, you know, we don't see her often when she comes over. She's like, well, I'm going to meet up with Greg. And we're all like, well, where's your mom? You know, and it's like, oh, it's just me and him, and we're just going to go hang out.
They're,
you know,
full-blown together?
For a while.
They were definitely together together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it never came to light. Nobody's really ever, like, brought it up and actually said about it, but you could see it, like, it was totally clear on faces.
That's insane.
Nice.
Right?
Right? Thank you for the call, Martin. We appreciate it. Let's go down to line 3, say hi to Josh. He's in L.A., and then, John, you hang on. We'll get to you next. Josh, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Good morning, party people.
Good morning.
So I was 20 at the time. I dated this girl for 2 years. We had broken up, and I went to go drop some stuff off at her mom's house.
Yeah.
And she wasn't there, and this was the day after. And her mom had just been through a separation with her husband, and we consoled each other.
Josh.
So now we know what you meant when you said you went to drop some stuff
right?
off.
Wait, Josh, had there ever been any attraction before with her mom?
I was attracted to her a little bit, but, I mean, I was 20 at the time.
Right.
And I guess, you know, my ex was crazy, and apparently I was crazy, and her mom was, too.
Well, everybody
in this story is defective. There's no question about that. Did the ex-girlfriend ever find out that you drilled her mom?
No, she did not. And the funny
Until
thing is,
now
I'm married. I'm in my mid-30s, and before I got married, I told my wife when I was dating her that this had happened. And still to this day, she jokes about it every now and then. She'll, you know, if I have to go to my mother-in-law's place, she's like, oh, just don't hook up with my mom while you're there.
Oh, no.
I think that's a reasonable ask. Thank you for the call. We appreciate your listening so much. Let's close it down with John in Cyprus up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, John.
How's it going, fellas?
Good, thank
Good.
You.
What's up?
I'm cracking up, man. That guy's funny. I got a really good friend of mine. This is about 15 years ago, and I won't use his real name on the air, but I know he's listening right now.
Okay.
So this buddy, we'll call him Mike.
Okay.
Not his name, but dating this smoking hot chick. She's a stewardess on an airline. So he's hooked up with her, and they've been dating and stuff like that. Well, he cruises over to her pad, and she's gone on a flight, but the mom's there. Hooks up with the mom. Life is good. Goes back over there 2 weeks later. The aunt and the mom are there. Hooks up with the girl's mom and her aunt.
No. Come on.
Yes. The horse on the like nobody's business.
Hold on.
So he's just rolling along through this. He's having the time of his life. Her flight gets canceled because they have a malfunction of the plane. She comes home. It's on. Out the window, closed, television, you name it. Police. It was a scene.
So it's off is what you mean. Not it's on. It's off.
Mom and
you know,
aunt.
Let me tell you. All three of them were smoking hot.
Really, I'm not going to lie. John, if your friend Mike is listening, tweet me.
You want to hook you up?
Yeah, I'm saying I'm into it.
From the 818, Dear Kevin and Bean, so my hookup with my girl's mother actually was by accident.
What?
I used to get massages on Craigslist, and one day my new girlfriend invites me over to her parents' house for a barbecue. Needless to say, when I was introduced to her mom, I realized it was one of the girls that used to come and give me massages with much more than a happy ending.
Oh, my God.
I never told
Wait,
the girl.
Much more than
That's what he says.
Oh, dear.
So in other words, the girlfriend takes him to her parents' house, and he walks in the door and realizes he's already banged the mom.
Wow.
Had no idea that that was going to be the case. I never told the girlfriend at the time, and I could tell that the mother knew what was up. So there you go. That's
good times.
That's to add to our topic.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Hey, Allie's got What's Happening, and then we're going to give away some tickets to see Vampire Weekend at the Hollywood Bowl and qualify you to see them at the Mad Cool Festival in Spain. Don't you know? It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2019. Allie, take it away.
If he could write back and let us know what is more than a happy ending, because I feel like we're all doing something wrong. What if there is more and none of us know?
Oh, that's a good point.
Right? Huh.
So, haven't been to the right professional.
Yes, please write back. I am thoroughly invested in this man's story now. Oh, we've been talking about the Grammys all morning, and I think all of us are on the same page with the fact that it felt like the best Grammys in a very long time. The
Absolutely.
Show was just so good. Alicia Keys couldn't have been more just authentic and positive and just watchable.
She's super likable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
And she has
so
a great smile, but and you buy that it's real.
Not enough makeup for me.
You know what I mean?
Oh, dear.
Not enough makeup.
Oh,
I'm telling you, when I get a female host, you got to wear a lot of makeup because that's what I like. Contour your face.
She was the no-host host, too. I mean, it was just like she was having a dinner party.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
pressure
yeah.
showed on her at all last
yeah.
night.
I loved it. I loved it so much. But let's go over some of the big winners. Album of the Year went to Beans, Kacey Musgrave.
I love her so much, and that's well-deserved. And Kevin, let me tell you something about Kacey Musgrave.
Yes.
Is not played on country radio.
What?
She's considered
she
a country. She is considered a country artist. She has had country hits in the mm-hmm. past, but this album really kind of branched out into lots of different areas. Which is one of the reasons why it's been so widely embraced and mm-hmm. probably why it won Album of the Year. But no country radio play on this at all.
That's super weird.
So you might want to check it out. I think it might be tolerable.
It's a pop record more than it is country.
Yeah,
record.
For sure. Yeah.
yeah.
Record of the Year.
It's country adjacent? All right.
Like way adjacent,
okay.
really. Yeah. Record of the Year, which goes to artists, engineers, and mixers. That went to This Is America by Childish Gambino. Song of the Year, which goes to the writers, went to This Is America.
He could have showed up.
I mean... Sure.
Would have been nice to have him.
Best New Artist, Dua Lipa. In the rock category, which was not televised, they did this earlier in the day. Was it earlier in the day or a whole separate day?
It was earlier in the day.
Okay.
Yeah, in the afternoon.
All right. Rock album went to Greta Van Fleet with The Fires. Alternative music album went to Beck for Colors. And rock performance single or track went to Chris Cornell with When Bad Does Good. In the rap category, rap album was Cardi B's Invasion of Privacy, which made her the first solo woman to win Best Rap Album ever. So history made with that. Mm-hmm. And a rap song, which goes to the songwriters, went to God's Plan by Drake. All right.
The most streamed song of 2018.
All right.
Excellent.
I'm just saying super popular.
Thank you, super. Mr. Know-It-All.
Okay, fair enough.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
In the
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Excellent. In the R&B category, R&B album went to Her with Her. So there you go, right there. I don't know if any of you were following along with Ariana Grande's tweets during.
Not.
Well, when Cardi B made history winning with her album Invasion of Privacy for Best Rap Album, she wound up tweeting the word trash. And
trash, that word alone.
And a lot of people were like, whoa, hold up. What are you doing? Cardi B is what are you saying? But turns out she was talking about the fact that she was talking more about the Academy. Because in her mind, you fly out Mac Miller's family to sit there and you don't give him the award. To her, it was kind of just another slap in the face from the Academy.
Well, they don't tell anybody who wins the awards before they open the envelope.
Also, she did publicly congratulate Cardi B before that.
Yeah, she then...
So it was like a little bit... I mean, I did see through that slightly.
Yeah, but then she then went back and forth to people that were like, that was her moment, what are you doing? She's like, no. One of her... Twitter followers said something like, well, she is trash. And Cardi B was like, no. She absolutely is not trash. She's a great person, totally deserving of this. It's not what I meant at all. She has since deleted, obviously, all of that. Didn't even want that to be on her timeline. But she was, you know, sticking up for her man's family. Ex-man's family.
Also shouts to Cardi B, who then said she's splitting the award with Mac Miller.
Which is my next point. Yeah. She wound up saying backstage that I read an article that Mac Miller's family said, if he don't win, they want me to win. So I'm sharing this Grammy with you, mother effer. Rest in peace and thank you, everybody. So, I mean, I feel like everybody was doing the right thing.
Great album. Great album. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who I was until I heard this album.
Really?
It was kind of weird that I don't know if those pictures were taken last night, but Ariana Grande seemed to spend her night wishing she were at the Grammys, even though she had declined the invitation to perform.
Well, she did post the pictures of her in the Zac Posen gown.
Yeah, and the jewelry and the shoes and everything. Yeah. Like, she was ready to walk out the door just laying on the floor with her dog watching the Grammys.
Yeah. She was tweeting along, and she was, you know, giving shout-outs to Janelle Monáe during her performance. So she was watching, obviously.
Wanted to be there, but didn't want to be there. That's what it sounded like.
People think the dress she was wearing was a reference to Mac Miller as well, because it was very similar to a Cinderella. It looks like Cinderella's dress, mm-hmm. like same color, same sort of whatever. And his song about her is called Cinderella.
Oh, this all got real sad, you guys.
All right. You know.
Mm. Well, move that bus. Indeed. Let's talk about some birthdays, shall we? Brandy, Sheryl Crow, Damian Lewis, Jennifer Aniston, Taylor Lautner, Mike Shinoda, D'Angelo, Kelly Slater. And that's what's happening.
No Grammys.
And
none for Local H.
And they were scheduled to perform and were cut for time.
Right?
Is what I heard on last night's show, which was very disappointing for me. I'll tell you this. I know we've been talking about the Grammys all day. If we have time for just a couple more minutes on the telecast last night on CBS, 3 hours and 40 minutes of the Grammys. In general, a great show. But I was nervous out of the gate when I tuned in because this is the first voice I heard when the show began.
Tonight, live from the Staples Center in Los Angeles, music's biggest night is back with your host, Alicia Keys.
First of all, foreigner, right? Unacceptable. Second of all, that doesn't sound like the guy I used to love who did the Grammys. Whatever happened to this guy?
Come on!
Where's this guy?
Coming up next,
an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae. Wow.
Come on now. How do they not bring that guy back?
How dare you?
We've raved all day long about Alicia Keys, but I want to say it again. The best thing they ever did was hire a no-host host.
Yeah.
They got somebody out there who wasn't trying to be James Corden, who was a good host, but it went a completely different way.
Remember when we talked to her Friday and we said, are you going to be nervous because you've never done anything like this before? And she said, not really.
It showed.
She was not nervous at all.
Amazing.
I mean, to the point where she didn't clearly go to rehearsals because she had no idea where the cameras were and no idea where she was supposed to be or what she was supposed to hand off to. There were times where she was just talking to the audience when they came back from commercial breaks. It's like she wasn't even paying attention. I mean, if it were you or I up there, Kevin, we would be so nervous about missing a cue that we would just be glued to our producer, right? And then she did, her version of a monologue, which was just to come on and talk about how happy she was to be there and how excited she was by her musical brothers and sisters.
It is so exciting to be here because music is what we all love. Music is what it's all about. You know, everybody is out here shining, and I'm so proud to bring us together to honor this moment because music is what we cry to. Exciting to be here because...
I said that already. You know, if there were... almost anybody else who would get up there and start doing a hippy-dippy thing about how important music is, you would just be like, whatever. But didn't you feel like she, like, lives that?
Yeah, she's the most authentic, real person that could possibly have hosted those awards.
Also, great use of hippy-dippy.
Right, that was just weird.
Because music is what we cry to. Uh-huh. It's what we march to. It's what we rock to. It's what we make love to.
Go on.
Ugh.
Go on.
I don't like the sound of that.
There was another very authentic moment that I thought last night. John Mayer came out onto the stage with Alicia Keys, and Alicia told a story about, you know, she's won 15 Grammys, so she's no stranger to that, to hearing her name called at the ceremony. But there was one she really wanted to win one year for Song of the Year, and that year it went to John Mayer's wonderful song called Daughters, which, by the way, has to be one of the biggest wedding songs of the last 10 years, right?
And he hates it.
Why?
Really?
That's why he gave up. You're going to tell the story, so I don't want to spoil it, but he hates daughters.
He wrote it.
He went up on stage and said this shouldn't have won. That was like the whole thing he said. He's like, this isn't a great song.
So Alicia's telling the story about how she's waiting for her name to be called. She so desperately wants to win Song of the Year, and it goes to John Mayer. And here's what happened next.
I ain't got that Grammy. But don't worry, it's okay, because this story has a really happy ending. Because John said, I agree, Alicia, this should have been yours. And he literally broke the Grammy and wrote If I Ain't Got You with my name on it and gave it to me. Like, look at what he did. Like, look.
So she shows the Grammy, half a Grammy.
And this is my half of my Grammy. This is my hammy. Like, my hammy.
And here comes John Mayer.
This has got to be the coolest joint custody agreement in showbiz history.
All right, we're putting it back together. It belongs back together.
Just for one night only.
Right.
Now, that is in place of what would ordinarily be shtick mm-hmm. between two presenters. Mm-hmm. But I felt like that was a really authentic moment where she was kind of thanking him for his generosity that year. And he was like, hey, happy to do it. Big fan.
Yeah, and that was also his, that was also his first Grammy, which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he gave half of the first Grammy to – he could have never won one again. And he just gave her half.
Wow. Yeah. Why did he hate the song? Just that he felt like other songs in the category were more deserving to win? Or did he really just turn on the song? Is it like not something he plays anymore?
He does not play it much, no. Unless he feels like he has to. But no, he does not play it much, no. He does not like the song. I think he clearly...
That's strange.
Yeah, he's openly said it before playing it. I don't enjoy this song. Going to do it because I know you like it. No, he doesn't like the song.
That is funny.
Yeah.
There was another moment that we haven't touched on yet, which was, first of all, the Diana Ross. Let me back up another step. Oftentimes, Kevin, we have complained that the Grammys are too much for the olds.
Yep.
And I think you could really make that argument last night because they did a Diana Ross tribute for her 75th birthday later this summer. They did a lifetime achievement, essentially.
Let's not rush past that. She said happy birthday to me three times.
Yeah.
When's her birthday?
March 26th, I believe.
What happened?
She was like, thank you all for celebrating my birthday with me. And I was like, oh, that's so nice that, you know, like they brought her up for her birthday. And then to find out it's not even...
It wasn't even close.
Well, there are people who have a birthday month. She apparently has a birthday season, I guess.
It's crazy.
They had Diana Ross, and by the way, she was tremendous last night,
mm-hmm.
I thought.
Me too.
They had the Dolly Parton tribute that Dolly actually headlined with a bunch of other people, so she's an old. They did.
Alicia Cara came out with Bob Newhart.
That was the greatest.
I'll tell you why.
Why was Bob Newhart there?
He was a Best New Artist winner,
mm-hmm. which I still don't understand how a comedy album won Best New Artist at the Grammys.
Yeah,
I don't understand that. There was one other thing. What was the other thing last night that they did that was super old? Another. What am I forgetting?
Red Hot Chili Peppers?
No, not that. There was some other thing that was really. Oh, the Motown. The Motown.
Oh, yeah.
Those are all songs from the 60s. Okay. But for some reason, I still felt like it was a very hip and contemporary show, even though they had those three things that were the kinds of things we used to make fun of.
Four, technically, if you count the Aretha Franklin.
Oh, yeah. Aretha Franklin. I think it was well-paced. It was a good mix. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and enough young stars were involved in those tributes that it made you still feel modern.
So Alicia Keys brings out Diana Ross's grandson. Now, Diana Ross is 75, so I expected her grandson would be like 40. But it turns
out math didn't work.
It turns out he's only 9, so yeah. I don't know what happened here. But it was very cute, and some people say he stole the show as the best presenter of the night.
To make the next introduction, please welcome a distinguished little guy who just happens to be Diana Ross's 9-year-old grandson, Raif Hanuk. Come on,
Raheem. Right, so here's something called Raheem Manak walking up to the mic.
Did she say little guy? I'm almost 4'9".
Got him.
Thank you, Miss Alicia, for all the wonderful things that you said about my grandmother. She is amazing.
That's the when they do the eventual Modern Family reboot, there's your new Manny.
He's
most poise I've ever heard from
the
9-year-old.
Oldest little kid yes. ever.
Guys, I have a conspiracy theory.
He's 40?
I think he had a mustache, and I stand by it because we looked at photos during one of the breaks. I think he had a small mustache, and I think that he's growing older than his age. Like a disorder of some sort.
Oh my God, Jeff!
Oh, no, you don't.
What is wrong with you?
No, what I'm saying is I think that he is somehow becoming an old man in a little body. So I don't know what that is.
Like reverse Benjamin?
That sort of happens with some kids.
That's just what I mean. Old souls. That's what I
mean.
Is that what you mean?
Well, no. I'm giving you an out.
No,
right, I take it.
I was blinded by his wedding ring while he was presenting.
Is he the movie Jack?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I heard he did get a DUI after the show.
Everyone, stop it. This is a 9-year-old little boy. Oh my God. It was strange.
I caught him backstage. He was telling me what he did on 9/11.
Everyone, stop. Oh my God.
Look, he seemed old. That's all. For a 9-year-old.
Okay.
He had a mustache, for God's sakes.
It did seem like he had a mustache.
Bean? Anything
I just
else?
Wait for Kevin to hit the button.
Oh.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You gave us too good of choice.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Seems pretty short. I mean, does that deserve a moment?
I think I know what you were trying to say.
Let's hear it again.
I don't.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You gave us too good of choice.
That was a moment.
I don't know if it's a moment, but it's definitely a stroke. No question about that.
Wow.
Hey, 9:40, time for our final look at what's happening here on this Monday Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Allie.
Did you hear about Lindsay Buckingham?
Yes.
Good God.
This is scary.
Yeah, so former Fleetwood Mac guitarist Lindsay Buckingham suffered vocal cord damage after undergoing, should I just start over?
The moment with is contagious.
Yeah. Play the moment with again.
Hey, how do we
one
blame
more.
This on me?
One more.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Tough to vote. You gave us too good of choice.
That was a moment with Kevin.
In her defense, Allie was fine until she hurt.
Yeah, it's true. That's contagious. Totally
come
true.
On.
That's her bird
can't
box.
Can't blame everything on me.
That's my bird box. Okay, so former Fleetwood Mac guitarist Lindsay Buckingham suffered vocal cord damage after he went through emergency open heart surgery last week. He's now home and on the mend. His wife, Kristen, tweeted on Friday, "While he and his heart are doing well, the surgery resulted in vocal cord damage. While it's unclear if the damage is permanent, we are hopeful it's not." And all scheduled gigs have been postponed as he's healing. But that's not something you want.
No.
Not if you're a singer.
No. That's terrifying.
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac's looking pretty smart right now. Replacing
That's what him. I'm saying, right? They're like, thank God we booted that dude, yep. Mr. No Singy. It's a horrible nickname, right? Not good at all.
It was my favorite Bill Hader impression on SNL, though.
Oh, his Lindsay?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, you know, whatever. Like, sorry, we can't go to you, Lindsay Buckingham. Okay.
And this is devastating news for Bean. That's why he needs to be on Instagram, because he would have found this out on Friday when Zac Efron posted a picture on Instagram of him just in a hospital bed. Turns out he went under the knife following a recent snowboarding injury. He tweeted out, "I tore my ACL shredding the gnar, but it's all good. I opted for surgery so I can come back stronger than ever." Bean, I feel like that is reason enough to be on Instagram. One, you will now be keeping up with his progress, which I'm sure he's going to be getting back into the gym slowly, that type of thing. A lot of chances for some shirtless pics of your sweet, sweet... Are basically Darwinism at work. It's survival of the fittest. Tide bod challenge.
Just let it happen?
Let it happen. Don't warn people about these challenges. If you're eating Tide Pods... Night, night. Bye, bye. We don't need you. If you're planking off the side of a building and you fall over, tough. Right. You know what I'm saying?
But everyone else can't see you point.
No one can see me point at my chest.
Right.
I'm just saying, if you're doing the Kiki challenge and you get run over by your own car, sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, that's my B. I biffed it right out of the gate.
No
None of those people are future Nobel Prize winners.
None of them
are future presidents. We'll be fine.
That's why this warning about the boiling water challenge, which people were doing all during the freezing temperatures during the polar vortex. What you do is you take a pot of boiling water, walk out into the outdoors, throw it into an arch shape over your head.
Over your head.
If it turns to snow before it hits you, You're good. You won the challenge. If it burns you and you go to the hospital like many people in Chicago, you don't win that challenge. You are pouring boiling water over your head. I hate people.
But that's how we get rid of them. I love this.
Yes.
You should do it in front of a moving bus.
It's a whole different challenge.
Yeah.
This is a very interesting story about Tropicana Field, home of Major League Baseball's Tampa Bay Rays.
I mean, kind of baseball.
They have become the first pro sports stadium to go cashless.
Oh.
Right? So they said on Saturday that cash will no longer be accepted at concession stands, team stores, ticket office, any points of sale.
Doesn't it seem like they should take it however you want to give it?
Well, they're saying that what?
You know what I mean?
Why were your hands so busy, Bean? You couldn't do that quick enough.
Right?
So credit cards, gift cards, and mobile payment apps will still be accepted. But if you only have cash, they're going to make you exchange it for a gift card, which seems to be taking up some time. But they say going cashless is going to increase service speed and reduce lines, which I guess that makes sense.
Doesn't it?
I feel like longer? Cash is quicker.
Yes, that's what I think.
I would think so, too, yeah.
Cash is quicker.
Well, they're saying no. I don't know. But the NFL also announced...
I am not
going to
see a baseball game there, I'll tell you
that. You aren't? You're not going to go to Florida?
Draw the line there,
nope.
Are you?
Nope.
Well, the NFL announced earlier this month that they want to have a cashless Super Bowl by 2025.
Okay. I mean, they have other problems.
No,
many of us are living a pretty cashless life anyway. I think mm-hmm. the world is going in that direction. But I agree with Kevin. I think you ought to make it available to however people choose to pay. You don't turn away cash if that's what people have.
Kevin is probably the only person I know that always has cash. You always have
it. Because I'm a baller.
I think that's mostly it. Can you just isolate that? That is fantastic. No, I think that's part of it, that you got a ton of money, but you always have cash. Like if somebody's like, oh my God, I totally forgot my wallet today.
Say
I
Allie.
Need gas. Say me.
Right.
He immediately has just 20 bucks. It's amazing.
But he also always carries 50 singles with him at every time.
That is interesting.
You never know.
He's headed on the way home.
You never know.
And doesn't have a wallet. It's just wadded up in a pocket with
It's a mess.
With some jacks and a...
I have some issues.
A weird turtle.
All right.
All sorts of stuff comes out.
Hey, speaking of... I know this is a little bit of a non sequitur, but speaking of sports stadiums,
uh-huh.
one of the articles I read, we never got a chance to talk about it, was when we were down at the Super Bowl in Atlanta, Hotlanta. Mm-hmm. The stadium down there where the Falcons play, they decided 2 or 3 years ago that they were going to listen to the fans and start making the food and beverages there cheap.
Okay.
At that stadium, you pay $5 for a beer and $2 for a hot dog.
Wow.
Which is like a third or a fourth as much as it is at every
crazy.
Other stadium.
Yeah.
And they have seen nothing but sales go through the roof. And I think, if I remember the figures I saw correctly, I think they are the number one stadium for sales off of food and drink.
They've made $30 per season.
No, they make more money than any other stadium, making it that much cheaper because everybody buys and buys again. You know what I mean? Instead of lots of people smuggling food in or saying I'm just not going to pay that. I'd rather not
eat. You have to take out a loan just to get a hot dog.
Can I tell you the most glorious sports experience I've ever had?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Brooklyn Nets for the first 2 or 3 seasons would sell a ticket that added about $10 to it. It wasn't even that crazy. It was just like a promo they were doing for the first few seasons.
Okay.
But it was better seats in the house. Like you had to kind of, but not a, $50 tickets, $60 tickets.
All right.
And there were 50 or 40 different vendors in the arena. So they would go to Brooklyn people, like the Cheesecake Place that's really famous there. And literally every vendor was there.
So great food.
Great food.
Okay.
The ticket gave you free food all game.
Whoa. That's awesome.
And I went to a couple games that season out there, and it was incredible. I mean, I made myself sick every single time.
Of course.
But
How fat would you be if you lived in New York?
Oh, my gosh. it was one of the best. I think all you can eat food tickets, even if you paid 30 bucks, would be worth it. And I think in the long run, the stadiums would make more money than they would lose.
I would think so, too.
Maybe so.
Interesting.
But I just couldn't even imagine a 21st century experience where you can get a hot dog for $2.
Yeah, yeah. It's great.
At a sporting event.
Well, that brings me to my next story. And Dave is so obsessed with me doing this, and I just don't get it. But I'm doing it for you, Dave Sanchez, King of Mexico. He gave me a tweet, and he said, oh, finally the Dodgers win something. It's a question from Major League Baseball London.
What?
On Twitter. It all comes down to this. The World Series of Ballpark Food Decider. Representing the American League, the Red Sox. Representing the National League, the Dodgers. Who wins? It was between a lobster roll or a Dodger dog.
In London, where they probably have never had a Dodger dog.
In London, where they've never had either.
Why are they doing that?
And can I tell you how many people voted in this?
Please.
216. This is the saddest story of all time. But Dodger Dog prevailed.
Yes.
54%. That's why Dave was like, it's exciting. We finally won something. I'm like, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
What's up? Mexico for the decline of Western civilization.
Yeah, true.
Idiot.
So there you have it. Major League Baseball London. Who knew that was even a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Some birthdays for you. D'Angelo, Damian Lewis, Mike Shinoda, Kelly Slater, Taylor Lautner, Sheryl Crow, Brandy, Jennifer Aniston. Happy birthday. And that's what's happening.
Don't forget, we do have a podcast. We appreciate
what?
Everybody who listens to the show live, either on the FM radio at 106.7 or via radio.com. But you can also, if you tune in late, you get up late or whatever it is, you want to hear stuff you missed, we also have a podcast that is almost the entire show every day. And you can get that at radio.com or iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. And you might realize that it's you don't have to get up early and still hear the good stuff. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. If you want to check it out, the podcast, go ahead and subscribe and get it every day delivered to you.
On your drive home today, tomorrow morning on an all-new show, we've got the Naked Magicians. We've got...
I'm sorry, hold on. What?
We've got...
Say it again?
We got
Nuts. The what?
Nuts, what's up?
No. The thing before that,
what?
The naked thing. What was that about?
Naked Magicians is... Or on the show tomorrow.
And magicians Robert, who do magic while they're not wearing clothes?
I mean, I assume that's their thing.
Is that the trick?
I don't know.
All right.
The Naked Magicians.
All right, we'll find out.
And also Robert Rodriguez, who, of course, is the director of Alita Battle Angel, tomorrow morning on an all-new show.